All right, everybody, get to your seats, get to your seat. Let's get started. We have Danny in the house.
Okay, welcome back, everybody. I also want to say welcome to those visiting from abroad, from Latvia, UK, South Africa, Australia, and New Zealand. Woo! Welcome. Okay, so now that we're about to get started again, if you could please remember
Hold on. Oh. What?
You're silly. He's shameless. Okay.
All right, now I turn him off.
He's awesome. Okay. So if now that we've gotten our selfie, everyone has gotten your selfies, we're all good. So you can now turn your phones to off or silent. And just wanted to let everyone know that we have the Danny Johnson University curriculums available for sale today. And this is such an incredible product. I didn't get the number for how many are actually available, but it's actually in limited supply. So I highly recommend that if you're considering that you act now. Don't be like us. We started out very slowly, just kind of buying a product here and there. And while we got some benefit from that, we saw so much of a difference when we went all in and got the entire DJU curriculum. I have access to all the products for whatever season that I'm in. And the best part is that you get access to Diane McCracken. She is amazing. She serves as your GPS through the curriculum, so you have that accountability. So if you're not sure, you know, which product to turn to, because there's so many of them, she's there to guide you and kind of point you in the right direction and to help follow up. So I don't know about you, but you can either start slowly like we did, or if you want fast results, I highly recommend the DJU curriculum.
All right. So like I said, we are Matthew and Mickey Klein. We're from Cochran, Georgia. We're a military family, so I've heard of that excuse a lot, so you can drop your excuses, because I'm still doing that. So we're from Cochran, Georgia. That's a small town, about 2,000 people. I've heard that excuse, too. I don't live in the big city. You can drop that excuse, too. All right, I'm just going to go ahead, since I'm running out of time here, just go ahead and give you guys just some quick numbers. You want to hear some real results? All right. So 2 years ago, we were sitting back there, that corner, this room. This is our Daniversary, actually, 2 year. We were grumpy. We didn't listen until about 4 months later. Here's what we did. We found $3,000 of fat in our budget, okay? In 18 months, we cleaned out $285,000 worth of debt. This woman right here. We have $120,000 worth of savings. We have $130,000 investments in stocks and real estate. And you know, when they say, you know, we made $250,000 a year. And like Danny, we were overspending that by 20%. So we did it too. So we were spending $270,000 a year. Happy to tell you that today we are spending $23,000 a year. So I'm on my, she's on her third marriage. I'm on my second. But you know what? Thanks to the training we got at this, with these people, it's an amazing support group. We're here to, we stopped saying this is third, this is my second. This is our last marriage. So we're super stoked about the new event that they've got coming up, the hot marriage. I don't know if they're calling it a retreat or a training. Stand by for words. You're going to hear more about this amazing experience. So I am out of time. Thank you very much. Everybody, please come to your feet. And everybody, just help me welcome our mentor and America's favorite millionaire, Mrs. Danny Johnson.
Man, I just ingested this adrenal concoction with echinacea and a bunch of crap in it, and it tastes like gin or something. Ugh. I feel like I could light a match and have fire. Ugh. Ugh. That's my friend Mona. My friend and I have been working together, well, since DannyJohnson.com got started, 14 years now. Yeah, 14 years. This is our anniversary. Yeah, this month, August 23rd, the website DannyJohnson.com was started. And August 25th is the first time that we did an event. So first time in the general marketplace. Prior to that, I had been doing First Step Success and creating a dynasty for a lot of people, but only in basic contract with one company only. Then I retired, and then I got miserable and bored. Boredom is a bad place to be. You can do some really stupid things when you're bored, like gain a lot of weight and be miserable. I'm glad I was bored, too. I was really miserable. It was a terrible thing. Okay, this afternoon, we are going to talk about increasing your income by increasing your value in the marketplace, how to find ways to increase your value. And there are things that are right in front of you. Just as when I was homeless and I absolutely needed to increase my income because it was going to take me about 3 more months before I was not going to be homeless still. And the reason for that was I was living in Hawaii, and Hawaii is very, very expensive. Very, very expensive. The apartments are expensive, the food, the gas, like everything, because you have to bring everything in. Nothing grows there. So it's really super expensive. So the long and the short of it was that I did the math and I figured out that if I continued to make $1,500 a month as a cocktail waitress, I was going to be homeless for another 3 months. And there's something that happens inside of your heart when you say, no more. I'm done. It's over. All of a sudden, new decisions get made. And what follows decision, a real decision, is action. So I had to take action on this desire that I had, no longer being homeless. And that was truly my motivation to thinking of a different idea other than just being a cocktail waitress. I was working 12-hour shifts, making about $1,500 a month. It's not that much money for 12 hours a day, 5 days a week. 3 p.m. to 3 a.m. was my shift. So not only that, but then I took some of the money that I was making, and of course, you know, I got all the booze at a discount. So I pretty much drank my tips every night. So I was going to be homeless for a really long time with the current lifestyle choices that I was making. So I was driving in my car, heading probably to the beach because I live there. And I was asking myself a question, and this is the day after I had hit my lowest of lows, my absolute lowest of lows. I don't know where your low of low is, but the sooner you hit that, and it, the better that you don't make it too low. Some of us have a real low low. Let me see where you are. Who are the low low people? Yeah, like you could put yourself through absolute torture. You have a very high tolerance for massive dysfunction, okay? Where are you? Okay, you have a super high tolerance for massive dysfunction, no boundaries, right? You will destroy yourself and still be hanging there barely, you know, barely living. That was me. I don't live like that anymore, which is awesome. I haven't lived like that for a really long time, for like 21 years, thank God. So, nonetheless, my lowest of low was a line of cocaine, something I said I'd never, ever, 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 ever do, because when cocaine came into my childhood, that's when the abuse and the intensity just magnified of the screaming and the beatings. Do you understand? Like, it got like 10 times worse than what it was before cocaine. So there I am. I do my first and only line of cocaine, and I almost sold my body for it the next day. I offered my body for another line of cocaine. Nobody had any cocaine, or at least that's what they said. So, either they wanted their cocaine more than they wanted my body. Because I had no money. I had no money to purchase it. And so I was offering myself. I came this close to becoming a prostitute for cocaine. Scary. Also, at that time, about a week before, I had a $25,000 one-day shoot for Penthouse Magazine offered to me. I said, no. How awesome is that? Could you imagine what pictures would be floating around the internet right now? So I was this close to becoming a prostitute and this close from entering the porn industry. Okay? I was doing drugs. I'm a drunk. And the way I'm eating is by sleeping around. So this was my lowest of lows. So after I couldn't find any cocaine, I got really frustrated. I went into the ocean and I dove underneath a wave. I was at a beach party. It's 10 o'clock in the morning. I dove underneath a wave and I heard a voice tell me to pick up my mat and walk. I went to my beach mat. I picked up my mat and I walked. Follow directions. I went to my car. I went to the car that I had been living in and drove to the beach I was living on. In the car, I'm asking myself, what do I have to do to change? What do I have to do to make more money? You see, 98%ers complain about their finances. Instead of asking the question, what can I do to increase my income? Or what can I do to decrease my outgo? Okay, there's two ways to financial independence. Decrease your expenses or increase your income or do both at the same time, right? Decrease expenses, increase income. So in this case, I had like no expenses. I'm homeless. I work in a restaurant. My booze is there. The food is there. If I want something else to eat, I go out with somebody else. So nonetheless, I start to ask myself the question, how can I increase my income? I have got to find a way to not be homeless anymore. So in the back of my car is everything I own. There's a box in the back of my car. It is faded. It is a product that I had purchased. That's the car I lived in, by the way. That's my Hyundai. I took that picture because it was one picture left in my camera the day after the very first steps to success. So this is April 8th of 1991. That's when that picture was taken. Why? You see the photo booth? You see the photo place? It says 1 hour photo. Okay, I had one picture left. The thing wouldn't finish, so I'm like, whatever. No, why would I take a picture of my car that I'm living in? Right? I'm not living in it at that point. That is, by the way, 4 months after I was homeless. So I stopped being homeless January 5th. I was homeless in December. This is April 8th is when that picture of that car was taken. My first steps was April 6th and 7th. That's how fast your life can change. Do you hear me? That's how fast your life can change. December 24th, I snorted a line of cocaine. Around December 20th, I got offered into the porn industry. December 25th, I offered myself as a prostitute. Hello? January 5th, I moved into my first apartment because I just made $2,000 the 4 days prior to. December 26th to the 30th, I made $2,000. January 5th, I'm no longer homeless. April 6th, I'm doing my first steps for 45 people. Between then, I had made $2,000 plus $6,500. Someone do the math. Plus $10,000, we're at $18,000, plus $14,000. So from December 26th to April 6th, I had made how much? $32,500. That's how fast your life can change. How did it happen? I'm going to show you how it happened. First, how can I make more money? Not whining and crying about the money I'm not making. What do I have to do to get myself into an apartment? Not whining and crying about the fact that I am homeless. Do you understand? Everything has to do with focus. So I focused on what I wanted versus what wasn't going right. I'm driving in my car. There's a box. And how many of you would say that if you were homeless and you had a $25,000 one day, all it was going to take is one day, how many of you might have taken it? 25 grand. It's one day. It would have wiped out almost all of my debt. I had a $35,000 debt. It's 25 G's. It's one day of my life. One day of my life. That's close. Right? That's so close. You know I thought about it. I did. But I knew my adopted dad looked through porn magazines. They were in our house, penthouse being one of them. And I had this feeling that the old pastor that I knew from youth group, what if he looked at those magazines secretly? Made me sick to my stomach, and I'm like, no way. I'm not giving my stepdad any satisfaction, number one, and oh, that would just be really bad if my old pastor found out. So, fortunately, there's some things that you and I shouldn't do or won't do, and there are others of us that we will. So, nonetheless, I'm driving. I look in my rearview mirror, and I see this box. And this box is all faded out. It was a product that I had bought around November 24th-ish. It was around Thanksgiving time. And it was a product that I bought because I had gained 25 pounds after getting married. And then I gained another 25 pounds after when I was homeless. Again, I was gaining a pound a day. A pound a day. So I was 50 pounds overweight by Christmas Day. So I had purchased this product around Thanksgiving time. I had written a check for $125. It was a weight loss product. It was a woman who ran an ad in the West Hawaii Today in the classified section that said this: wanted 100 people, we will pay you to lose weight. Well, at the time, I didn't need money, but I did need to lose weight. So I called the ad. She told me about the product. She had lost 150 pounds on it. I said, I want it. So I sent her a check. She sent me the product. I tried the product for about 3 days. Number one, it tasted like chalk. I couldn't stand the taste of it. Number two, it made me really bloated and very gassy. I didn't need help in that department. I already know how to sound all kinds of alarms. I don't need any more help in that department. So between the gas, the bombs going off in my stomach, the bloating that was happening, and the chalk that I was tasting, I quit on it really fast. That product stayed in the back of my car. I couldn't bring it to myself to throw it away, and I didn't want to embarrass myself by asking for a refund. I'm going to say that again. I didn't want to embarrass myself by asking for a refund. So that a lot of customers are that way. A lot of people won't ask for a refund simply because they're embarrassed by the fact that they didn't use it, or they didn't like it, or they were not committed to it. I just simply was not committed to my goal of losing weight. What's the proof? I gained another 25 pounds in the next 3 weeks. Isn't that awesome? I probably should have taken that product. So that product is sitting in the back of the car. It's right in the back seat, right in the center, almost like a child sitting in the back. And I'm asking the question, what can I do to increase my income? What can I do to make some money and make it quick? I look in the rearview mirror, just as you are driving, and it's almost as though that box came alive. And it began to talk to me. And it began to say things like, I am the solution to your problem. And I'm like, oh, hell no. There is no way that I am going to sell shakes and pills. No way am I doing this, snack bars and popcorn. I am so not doing this. And then the box is talking louder. You could make some really quick cash. You could call Kim right now and find out. No. Look at me. I am a homeless whore. I'm as broke as a joke. And my ego is so big that I won't even open my mind enough to perhaps look at an opportunity that is staring me in the face and from the back of my head. How pathetic is that? That's pathetic. That's a huge ego. I am too big. I'm bigger than that. I'm better than selling a weight loss program. So, long story short, I eventually call Kim. I actually end up at the beach within the next day or so of that. And I'm sitting with four gals that were all from Sweden and Germany. And they were very tall, very husky women. And they were talking about New Year's resolutions and that coming up that they were going to go on a diet. And, you know, they're talking to each other like, have you heard of any good diets that we could go on? And I'm sitting there going, oh my gosh, really? Really? Awesome. Really? So then I say to these four girls, listen, I can put you in touch with a woman. Her name is Kim. She's in San Diego. She has this product. She's lost 150 pounds on it. They're like, oh, really? We should go on this together. And I'm like, here, I'll go call her. So I go up to the payphone booth. She had an 800 number. So I dial the 800 number and she says to me, you know, you owe me $125. I know. Get in line. I owe a lot of people a lot of money right now. I bounce checks at the grocery store. I bounce them at the gas station. I bounce them at the video store. I bounce checks everywhere. I still owe rent money, okay? Get in line, okay? My creditors are trying to find me. Fortunately, I don't have a phone, so they can't be calling me. And I don't have an address, so they can't send me anything either. Anyway, I'll get you your money. Wait a second. By the way, the reason why I'm calling is I have four women. They want your stuff. She's like, really? I said, yeah. So can you take care of them? Yeah, sure. She says, but you know what? Listen, why don't you sign up as a consultant? I'm like, no. And you owe me nothing. So basically, if you were a rep with our company, you would owe me nothing. Because you would make at that level like $25 per program that you would sell. For every one of those referrals you give, you're going to make $25. Once you reach 40 referrals, you make $50. So I'm like, okay, fine, whatever. Well, great. If it cancels my debt with you of $125, no problem. So here you go. Here's the customers, whatever. So as this continues, I start getting it in my head, okay, how hard can this be? How hard can this be? I have to do something. And my desire for not being homeless was bigger at that moment than my desire for staying homeless. And that's what has to shift. So, long story short, I handwrite a flyer, the same exact ad that the woman had placed in the paper. I get to the part where there is a telephone number needed. You know it's a flyer. What am I going to say? Like, meet me at the fourth coconut tree on the right at noon? You know, find the smoke signal, because I'll be smoking weed for sure. Find me over here. Because unfortunately, I was still doing that. So anyway, so I get to the place where I need a phone number, and I realize I needed some kind of a phone number. I need some kind of contact information. I call. I put in some quarters from those people that left change for my tip the night before. Anyway, so I put in some quarters, and I call a telecommunications company that's in Kona. And I get on the phone, and I use a skill set that I'm going to show you this afternoon. I lead the conversation. I get to know who the person is on the other end of the phone. And for 15 minutes, I get the owner, which I didn't know was the owner on the phone, talking about himself and just shooting the breeze with me. After 15 minutes, he then says to me, he says, Danny, man, I feel like I've known you my whole life. What were you calling for to begin with? And I said, oh, I was calling about your voicemail systems. And he says, oh, where are you at? I says, I'm in Waikoloa. He says, listen, you don't need to drive all the way down here to get a voicemail. Do you have a pen and paper handy? Yes, I do. Great. Here's your phone number. I'm going to waive the access fee. Just send me a check for $15, and here's your phone number. You ready? It's 808-326-5242. I will never forget that phone number. 808-326-5242. So I write it down. I put it on the flyer, and I put the flyer at our post office. Why? Nobody was able to receive mail at their house in a town of 5,000. Everyone had to go to the post office to get their mail. So everybody was at the post office every few days, right? At least once a week, right? So I post it with a bunch of other people's billboard advertisements that they have in there. I put it there. And 3.5 hours later, I went to the beach, actually. I go to the beach. I then go walk up the hill to get to the payphone. I call the payphone to check my voicemail, and it says, your voicemail is full. And 3.5 hours, I'm like, crap. So I'm like, oh, no, what do I do? So anyway, so I head back up to Waikoloa. I'm like, oh, I don't know what I'm supposed to do. I put in a quarter. I call the first person. It was a man. I call him Isaac. Hi, Isaac. How's it going? Good. This is Danny. You called in reference to a weight loss, an advertisement concerning weight loss. Yeah, how much is it? It's $125. That's too expensive. Click. I've got 24 more leads. I have no idea if I'm going to get another lead. I don't know if I'm going to get another 25. I don't know if I'm going to get another 100. All I know is that those 24 leads are either going to convert to making an income or I'm going to stay homeless. I have to figure this out. So I do what I had learned the year before. Study success. If you want to become successful, you study successful models. I'm going to say that again. You want to become successful, you study successful models. That goes for everything in your life. You want to have a successful marriage? Study people who have successful marriages. You want to have great kids? Study people who have raised great kids. You want to study financially success? You want financial success? Study financially successful people. So I call the biggest competitor in Kona, who was the Diet Center. Okay, they had advertisements all over the country, right? So this was just a franchise location right there in Kona, Hawaii. So I call the Diet Center. They have lots of ads, and this is what I say. Hi, my name is Danny. I'm calling about one of your ads. They said, great. Can I get your full name? Sure. I write that down. That's a good question. And then they say, you know, to figure out which program to direct you to, we need to first ask you a few simple questions. We first need to ask you a few simple questions to figure out which program to direct you to. I said, can you hold on a second? Can you say that one more time? It's really good. Figure out which program to direct you. Okay. All right. Yeah, great. How much weight do you have to lose? Brilliant. How much weight do you want to lose? 50 pounds. This is on the post-it notes. I take the post-it note. I put it on the payphone booth. Next question. What type of diets, can you slow down? What type of diets have you tried before in the past to help you lose weight? I tried this herbal thing. It made me fart. I've tried throwing up. I've starved myself. I did some pills a while ago. They made my heart race. Okay, great. How do you feel that those worked? Wow, it's an awesome question. How do you feel that those worked out for you? They didn't. I'm still fat. Okay, awesome. Well, we've been so busy with our national campaign that we're having to do phone interviews to figure out who's really serious about losing weight. So, Danny, how serious are you about losing weight? Can you slow down? Wow. Brilliant. So I tell them. They then go through whatever their product line is, right? They attempt to set an appointment with me. They tell me a bunch of stories. I'm writing down the entire outline of their scripting. So I pick up the phone, I call the next lead. Hi, Sarah, how's it going? Good, this is Danny. You called in reference to a weight loss program. Now, in order to figure out which program to direct you to, I first need to ask you a few simple questions. So she's like, okay, great. How much weight do you want to lose? I'm reading the post-it notes. What type of diets have you tried before in the past? I'm taking notes, I'm writing down all the answers. How do you feel that those worked out for you? You know, Sarah, we've been so busy with our campaign that we're having to do phone interviews to figure out who's deadly serious about losing weight. So, Sarah, how serious are you about losing weight? So I basically read post-it notes, and the next 24 people that I read those post-it notes to said, yes, I want it, and I want it now, which created another problem. I didn't have it. I didn't have any of it. I had nothing. Okay, so first I don't have a phone. I had to solve that problem. Now I have people who want it, but it doesn't exist. Okay, and I have no idea how to get it to me in time to get it to them. There was another problem. Somebody had asked me a question through the very beginning of the scripting where they would say, okay, well, where are you located right now? Oh, due to our expansion here on the island, and because of our advertisement has been making us very, very busy, we're actually doing home deliveries right now. I happen to have an appointment between 1 and 3 that is available. Which time works best for you, Sarah? She says 1 o'clock, great. So I show up at her house. I have what? Nothing. All I have is mine that was all, hello? Let's put it this way. Hawaii is humidity. Okay? It's humid. The sun is fading it. Do you understand? So it is all wrinkled up. It's a mess. I can't possibly bring that in there. And it has to be rancid at this point because 95 degrees, hello? It's a mess and humid. The stuff in the box is clearly rancid, right? So I'm not going to show mine because it shows that I don't value the product that I have, right? And by the way, had the product worked for me? Did I believe in the product? I didn't believe in it, and it didn't work for me. But I managed to get 40 people to write me a check for $125 to my name, not to a business name, writing it directly to my name, which was Danette Oakes. At that time, I was not married. Danette Oakes for $125 with no receipt, no business card, no business location, no nothing. My profit was $2,000. I sent that cash to the manufacturer. The manufacturer second day aired the product to me. Where was me? I had a new problem. Post office boxes do not receive UPS orders or FedEx orders, now do they? No. So here's what I'm saying to you. Do you see how many problems there were to overcome? The bigger the problems you solve, the bigger the paycheck. 98%ers let problems stop them from success. 98%ers let problems stop them from success. Let me tell you what a problem is. It's a task list. That's all it is. It's a task list wrapped up in your emotion. Your emotional immaturity jumps on top of the task list and says, oh no! What am I going to do? This is impossible. This isn't going to work. I knew I was going to fail. How come it's so hard? Why do you always say that to me? How come you always do that? Why does everything always turn out like this? Why does it always just my luck? Why does it always turn out like this for me? How come everything goes easier for everyone else? I'm going to have a heart attack. I'm a stress case. That's what 98%ers do with problems. What do 2%ers do with problems? They take the emotion off and they look at the task list that is below. All it is a task list. Task lists do not have emotions tied to them. Task lists are not emotional. So, but I don't have a phone, that's why I can't do it. Oh, I don't have any money, that's why I can't do it. I didn't have money to buy an initial order that was at a price point to where it would give me a good profit margin. Of course I didn't. Did I have the money for inventory? Let me help you. No. Did I have the money for business cards? No. Did I have the money for a phone line? No. Did I have a good reputation in the town of 5,000? Let me help you. No. Did I have anything going right for me? Go ahead, you can do it. I want you to break your neck on this one. No. I had nothing going right. But the victim mentality says, I have nothing going right for me. Nothing's working. It's impossible. It's never going to work. Nothing ever works for me. I always have bad luck. Everyone I know has bad luck. My family were losers. I'm a loser. I'm losing all the time. Shut up. And follow directions. Your task list gives you the directions. Every problem comes with solutions. There's not a problem that doesn't have a solution or multiple solutions. So as long as you take the emotion off of it, quit getting your chonies caught up in a wad and just get busy on the task list. Emotion makes you less valuable in the marketplace. Your overreaction, your high drama makes you less valuable in the marketplace. But it's the guy that can see a problem and not get their chonies all cut up in a wad that can just go, oh, this is XYZ. Well, how do I know if it's going to work? It doesn't matter. At least you're doing something. If you're in the middle of a problem, at least do something. You will find a solution. You might be like Einstein. Oh, Edison, who found how many? 9,999 ways it didn't work. 98%ers quit on the second one. They quit on the second try. That's not who you're called to be. That's not why you're here. You're here because you want to succeed. And if you're going to succeed, it may take you 10,000 times. So the first problem was no phone. The second problem was no credibility. The third problem was no money. Okay, all of these were problems. No business location. Okay, no, I was not a prestigious business person. I had no experience. Here's another problem. The product didn't work for me and I hated it. Does it matter? Does any of that matter? Guess what all of that is? That is all ego. It is ego when you look at your problems and make your problems bigger than the goal. Your problem is never bigger than the goal. Your problem is a stepping stone to the goal, but it's never bigger than the goal. Okay, and if it is, it's because you don't have a big enough goal. You don't have a big enough why. So when I started that business, here was my 100% focus with my clients. My focus actually wasn't making money. My focus was, who could I help to succeed? That was my focus. My focus was not selling 40 of these weight loss programs. My focus was getting 40 weight loss testimonials. That was my goal. How can I create 40 success stories on this product? I figured that if I could get 40 people to submit to me their before and after picture, then this would be a hugely successful brand all over the island, and the money would flow in. And I was right. That was clear. So my focus when I'm on the phone with a prospect is whatever their goal is. If my goal and their goal is the same, this is a win-win situation, and the business is going to grow. When the business doesn't grow is when your goal and the prospect's goal are not the same. So if your goal is to make your MasterCard payment, your goal is to make a bunch of money, their goal is not to help you make a bunch of money. Their goal is to get their need filled. And in this case, it was a weight loss issue. And actually, it wasn't even weight loss. This is really important to get through your head. Your business and your product is nothing but a conduit for building relationship. It's nothing but a way to make connections with other people. It is not the end of all things, and it's not the most important thing. What's more important is the relationship with your public, the relationship with your clients. That's the most important thing. That's where referrals come from. That's where a business will be sustained no matter what happens in the economy. So where 98% of the population makes a mistake with business is they make their focus just their product or their service. This is why there's major disconnects between them and the public, because they're more focused on trying to get their product out to the market than they are about filling a need of the public. So when you make the need of the people a higher priority over your product, now you will always have business and you will always have referrals. So you guys are so sweet. Thanks for saying that. So my focus was, if I made my goal the customer's goal, then I know that I will end up with referrals. They will get what they want. I will get what I want, right? I want to build a business. The way to build a business is relationship first. The business will always follow. So as long as you keep that customer and their experience a higher priority, you are going to succeed greatly in your career. So my focus was getting those. I had a binder that had other things in it, emptied it out, and I told them when I wrote it in my scripting that they had to do a before and after picture, that I was not looking for people who wanted to have a bunch of excuses. I wasn't looking for somebody that wanted to try 17 diets and continue to fail, but this had to be the very last one, and I was committed to them, helping them get to their goal, because we needed a before and after picture. So from there, that first 40 customers then turned into hundreds of customers, to thousands of customers, and a business that grew far faster than I could ever even keep up with it. And so those simple little things like solve the problem. What problem is in front of you that is stopping you from growth right now? Do you know what is stopping you from growth right now? You found out earlier that you were majorly the problem. But there's other things too. So let's get in and dissect this. It's really important. How do you increase your income? Well, first of all, if that's something that you want to do, again, you ask yourself that question. How can I make more money? What are ways you can make more money? Yes, a skill set in what, though? What are ways you can make more money? Just tell me. It can be conventional ways. It can be unconventional ways. I have a goddaughter who goes and buys things at thrift stores and sells them on eBay. She's doing it 10 hours a week. She's making $2,000 net a month. 10 hours a week, making $2,000 a month. Buying other people's old crap, taking a picture of it with her cell phone, writing a description of it, and putting it on eBay, and she's making $2,000 a month working 10 hours a week. The 10 hours a week, including going to the thrift stores and buying other people's crap. Buying what somebody else has thrown away and using it to make a profit for herself. So her absolute profit, I'm not talking about her gross, I said her net profit is $2,000 a month. So what are some things that you can do to increase your income? There's lots of different things you could do. How many of you could work more hours? How many of you tried that? You could work more hours, right? That could increase your income. What is something else you could do to increase your income? Take a second job. You could take a second job. That's another way to increase your income. Yep. Sometimes taking a second job is better than working overtime because of taxes. Yeah. Taxes totally rape you when you have more than 10 hours a week of overtime. It's a wash. It's better to have a second job than it is to have, 20 hours a week in overtime. What are some other things you could do? You can hire people so you can get more done. It's true. It's another way to increase your income. You could learn another language. Absolutely. You could learn another language, and that can actually help to make you money. So true. And in some countries, that's what determines whether or not you will make good money, is whether or not you can speak more than one language, depending on where you come from. All right, the rest of you make plenty of money and you don't need to know how, so that's good. We're done, we can go home now. Okay, so how you increase your income is by increasing your value. Let's talk about this. How many of you are already currently employed or you own a business? Either way, okay? All right, so when I talk about doing something that's right in front of you, remember I had something that was behind me and also in front of my eyeballs in the rearview mirror. It was something very simple sitting right there by me selling something that somebody else made, right? I didn't create that product, but I made $250,000 off of that product my very first year, okay? My second year, I actually started manufacturing my own. I made my first million manufacturing my own product. And building a sales force that sold that product, that's where I made my first million, was doing something crazy. Taking the money that I had made from selling somebody else's product, and I invested into manufacturing my own, and then marketed that. We did 5 million in 11 months. Yep, I was 23. I was 23 years old. 22, 23. Was between then. So, you know, to start a company without knowing anything about what I'm doing, I don't have a freaking clue, right? Our first week, we did $500,000. I have no idea how that happened. None. There's some specific skills I used to make that happen, but I mean, to $500,000 to then 5 million. I mean, that's pretty good success by the time you're 23, 5 million. And yeah, that's not bad. 5 million is a good chunk of change. That was only one company. I had two companies at the same time. The other company did another 2 million. 7 million in a year? 22, 23? Not too shabby. I need to go back to myself. You did a good job, girl. That's pretty impressive. Okay. Yeah, that all happened by the time before I was 25. All right, so, which, you know, if you're 50 and you're just starting out, don't worry about it. You got another 40 years of your life to figure it out. You're good. You're good. All right, so if you already have a business or you're working for somebody that does, let me show you some places where you can increase your income with what you're already doing, okay? Number one, you need to learn to solve problems, especially people problems. Quit running from problems. Head straight into them. Number two, be more dependable, consistent, and have more initiative than everyone else that is around you. The only way you're going to stand out of the crowd is by having more initiative. Do you hear me? Being more consistent and being more dependable. These are three really big problems that are in the marketplace today. People are less consistent, less dependable, and nearly have no initiative in the marketplace today. It's the weirdest thing. So when you, no joke, there's business owners in here right now going, yep, if I could find people that had initiative, woo! If I could find people who are consistent and dependable, why? We have a very distracted society that we're living in today. We have a very self-absorbed, distracted society that we're in. And so if you are more dependable, more consistent, and have more initiative than everybody else around you, you're going to rise to the top and you're going to get promoted. If you have the same amount of everybody else, then you can just pretty much count on no raise. Why? Because you get a raise by raising your value. You get a raise by raising your value. You don't get a raise by showing up. You don't get a raise by doing the job you were hired for the pay you were hired to do. You get a raise for doing more than what was expected. You get a raise by bringing more value to the company than what was already there before you actually got there, okay? Number three, you find out what it takes to increase profits. Find out what it takes to increase profits. If you do these three things, you will make an obscene amount of money. These three things: solve people problems, be more dependable, consistent, and have more initiative than everybody else, and find out what it takes to increase profits. Now, how do you do that? Number one, under find out what it takes to make more profits, learn how to bring in new business, new referrals. If you spend 80% of your time focused on getting new business, you would be very successful, and you would have more value to your company. You as the employer or you as the employee, you would have more value to the business. The business itself is a separate entity. It's like a totally different person, has its own tax code. Do you understand what I'm saying? So it's its own human breathing machine all by itself. So if you spend most of your time in getting new business, which we'll talk about right now, you will increase the profits automatically. Getting new business means increase of income. Okay, next. How can you cut the cost? How can you make the business more efficient? Now, you might be saying right now, but Danny, that's not my job. You're right, fool. Make it your job. Didn't you hear what I said? You have been, if you want to raise, that means you need to raise your value. Increasing the profits of the business automatically raises your value. No, but that's somebody else's job. No, it's not. If you want to raise your value, make it your job. Do you hear me? Make it your job. Make it your mindset of, I'm going to focus on helping this business grow. Okay? I'm going to focus on making this business grow. Regardless if I'm the owner or not, if you treat the job that you have as though it is your personal business and you give it the same level of honor and respect that your personal business should have, you're going to get ranked up fast. And you could even double your income. I've watched an engineer go from $35,000 a year within 5 years being the vice president of a $100 million business. Yep. From $35,000 a year within 5 years, $350,000 a year. He grew his income 10 times in 5 years. 10 times. Why? Well, the 10 years before that, he was just an engineer. That's all he was. I'm just doing my job, clocking in, clocking out. Just, you know, I'm here at 9, click, I'm on at 5, bye. I take my lunch at noon. I take my 15-minute break at 10. I take my next 15-minute break at 3. That's what he was. He didn't care about the business. He didn't care for his boss. He didn't care for his coworkers. He didn't care about anything. He was just punching in and punching out. After First Steps in Creating a Dynasty, came for 5 straight years. This guy got into his head. If I were the owner of this place, I would pick up the trash off the floor. If I was the owner of this place, I would make sure that the receptionist was feeling good about her job. If I was the owner of this place, I'd make sure that every employee here felt good about their job. If I was the owner of this place, I'd be concerned about making it more efficient. If I was the owner of this place, I would actually be getting things done earlier. If I was the owner and I cared about this place and I had my whole life invested in this thing, if I had mortgaged my house to start this business, there's a whole lot of things I'd be doing different. I'd be taking risks. I would bring initiative. I'd be doing research on the side. I'd be increasing my skill. These are all the things I'd be doing if I treated this place like I own this place. Well, he got up to a vice president. Within 5 years, making 10 times the money. Why? He learned how to solve people problems. He learned how to treat the business with much more value. He was far more dependable, far more consistent, and obviously had more initiative than everybody else in that place. He focused on getting new business, bringing new clients in, even though that was the sales department to do. That's the sales department is to sell the software that we make. I make software. My job is not sales. That's the salespeople's job. That's not my job. Great. Then stay broke. Stay right where you're at. That's the mindset of a 98%er. You will never grow your income with the attitude of, that's not my job. If you're the owner, you are responsible for the job getting done, no matter what the job is. So in this case, with this engineer, it wasn't, all right, he's out there, he's in Chamber of Commerce meetings, he's out there getting involved in the community, he's out there making phone calls, he's calling his own personal contacts to find out who actually needs something like the software it is that they are creating. He's doing all that. How many of you like to grow your income in the next 5 years by 10? That was his vision. And guess what's awesome is that he didn't have to take the responsibility of the business. He got to make $350,000 a year, but when he went home at night, it wasn't on his shoulders or his tax return. Meaning as far as the whole company goes, the responsibility of it. Okay, so learn how to get new business to bring in referrals. Number two, learn how to cut the costs where money and time is being wasted. Learn to find where money and time is being wasted. Learn how to retain more business by keeping the customers and the employees engaged. So learn how to retain more business, keeping people engaged. Number four, bring in better talent than what is already there. Bring in better talent than what is already there. We are on a rampage right now of doing just that. That is our mission right now, is bringing in better talent than what we have already and what we've had in the past. Not that we didn't have great talent in the past. We have. Got us to where we're at. But if we want to go to where we want to go, we have to have much more talent in the house. People that are even more committed to the mission and the vision and the values of our business. Okay, so better talent. Better talent. A lot of people end up hiring just what they can get. That's nonsense. So if you're an employee working for a business, I have a question for you. Could you go get new business for the business? I would just want to see that. As an employee, I don't care if you're the receptionist or the warehouseman, can you go get customers for the business? Show of hands, how many say yes? Does it matter what your title is? Get rid of your stupid title. Don't let your title be your prison. Let me tell you something. The current owner of the business used to do your job. The current owner of the business used to do your job. How do I know this? The only reason why you have a job is because he needed to move to a different job within the same business. But whether it is a farmer or a guy who owns all kinds of farms, he first started with planting seed. He first started with tilling soil. Do you understand? He first started with the weeds. Then eventually got to a place that now he's teaching other people how to do that. And then eventually hiring other people that could teach the people to actually do that. And he's the guy that's doing all the PR. He's the one promoting the food all over the place. Do you understand? So as you start in a business, the very early stages of it is actually doing all the grunt work yourself. Then pretty soon you replace yourself by offering that job to someone else. They're doing that job. You make sure they're trained to do it. Now you move on to something else. But I'm telling you, the owner drove the truck you're driving. The owner pulled the weeds you're pulling. The owner dealt with all the same stuff you're doing and moved himself up by how? Learning new skills, developing other people. So he had to still go get customers and do the deliveries. He also had to do the taxes. He also had to manage the phone calls. Do you understand? You start thinking like a business owner, which is what do we call an employeepreneur. And there are some of you, yeah, but you know, my goal is to fire my boss one day and just have my own business. You have fun with that attitude. You have fun with that attitude. You will reap what you sow. And when you start your own business, right now you can't figure out how you can't find good people because you were never a good one. You will recruit who you are, always. You will recruit who you are. And the bottom line is if you sow dishonor into a field, you're going to reap dishonor. You sow honor and respect and growth into a place, you are going to reap the same exact thing. So how you treat your leader, your boss, your father, your mother, get ready, baby. It's all going to come back to you. And it sucks when it does. It sucks when it does. It all comes back. It sucks when it does. So start sowing good seed. Okay, so I'm going to ask the question again. And all employees, who here is an employee of somebody else? Can you bring in customers into that business? Absolutely. What, now watch, most people don't. Most employees never talk good about the business that they're coming from. They never talk about the boss, the business, the brand, the product, the service, nothing. They punch in, they punch out, they're done. You want to grow? Do what others won't do. And that is go get customers for that business. Go get referrals for that business. Now you have to ask yourself, why would I not? Why would I not? Ego is the only reason. Ego is the only reason. There's something you have allowed to get under your saddle, a burr that's under your saddle. You have chosen to get offended. You've chosen to be uptight or upset. You don't think things can be run this way. Shut up and follow directions. When it's your business and you're dealing with the millions of dollars of responsibility and decisions that have to be made, let's see how well you do. Let's see how well you do. The only reason why you don't have that yet is because you're not ready for it. Get yourself ready for it by changing how you're approaching the problems right now. Okay, so how many of you could find costs within the business to cut in the business? How many of you, let me ask you a question, how many of you have wasted time? So if you have wasted time, let me ask you a question, how many of you have wasted time at work? Wait a second, and you're paid hourly. You've wasted time at work, so where's one place you could help the business to become more efficient? Stop wasting time yourself. I am. You could say, ouch. So do you hear what I'm saying? That we've all wasted time, right? So that's one place, is that you could personally stop wasting time while you're supposed to be working, which would help you to become far more productive. If you're more productive, what are you? More valuable. You're more valuable. If you're more productive, you're more valuable. All it is focus. So it's stop wasting time, especially on things that don't matter. So you could actually cut the cost of the business because you'll be producing more, which means you'll be increasing the income and not wasting time. Okay? Could you learn how to retain more business and keep people engaged? What does that look like? So simple. So very, very simple. Again, the mindset of that's somebody else's job. That's customer service's job. That's not my job. Every single customer that walks in the door and every customer that you're engaging with, whether it's a wholesale business-to-business type of a model or if it is business-to-customer, business-to-consumer, no matter what kind of model it is, guess what? You're responsible for those customers. That's if you want to grow. So if for you, no, that's somebody else's job, no, it's not. My brother was just telling me a story the other day. I was so proud of him, man. I freaking love my brother so much. He is an incredible man. So, so proud. So proud of my younger brother. And he's gorgeous and he's single. And stay away. He is here this weekend. Right over here. Right there. He's absolutely gorgeous. He's fit. He's healthy. He's strong. That's my little brother. That's my little brother. And his sister has a very high standard for whoever will be his wife. As well as his nieces and nephews also have. There's like five of them that you'll have to go through, plus me. So that makes six in order to qualify. His daughter is here this weekend looking for his wife. Because he is not married, and she's been telling people everywhere she goes, I'm looking for a wife for my dad. Do you want to be my dad's wife? She's also here. I'm looking for my dad's wife. Do you want to be my dad's wife? So that's her right there. That's my little Kaylee. Okay, so we got to the wife conversation because this is what he said. He used to install satellites, right? And rather than it leaving it up to the salespeople, right? He's in the home, he's finding the need, he's solving the problem, and he's upselling left and right all throughout that. Hey, he was the number one salesperson not being the salesperson. He's the guy installing them. You know the guy who comes to deliver it? Yeah, he gets in front of you, and he's using people's skills and finding a need to fill it to get the people really what they need and how they actually want it done. So if he had the mindset of a call sales, call the sales department, you should talk to Joe. Joe can help you with that. No, let me take care of that for you. Make sense? You got to break the barrier if it's not my job. It is your job. Taking care of the customer as though it is your customer and as though it is your business. All right, so how do we do that? Let's go there. How do we get more referrals? How do we cut the cost? How do we get more people engaged? How do we recruit better talent? Question, you're working for a company and they need to find better talent. Can you help them find better talent? Whether there is a bribe or not, can you help them find better talent? How would you go about finding talent? Huh? How would you go about finding talent? Someone says network. What else? Facebook. Yeah, absolutely. What else? Yeah, becoming the person they're looking for. That would be smart. Yeah, you can hit the streets. You can be asking people around, right? Listen, how many people are out of work in the United States alone? It's like, how many? It's over 30 million people that are out of work, right? So there's a lot of people out of work, and your company is hiring, and you're not telling anybody about it. What the heck is wrong with you? What does that mean? You're an isolated, egocentric, self-centered person. That's what you are. You're not helping your fellow man, and you're not helping the business that you work for. That's selfish. That's totally selfish. They're looking for talent, and you're keeping your mouth shut. You got to get out there and solve that problem for that business. How many of you know people? How many people do you know? Okay, well, let me walk you through a simple understanding about business, okay? There's going to be 7 basic steps of understanding business. Now, I just want to see again, how many of you are in business? How many of you are not? Who is not in business? Okay, so, all right, awesome. But those of you who are not in business, how many of you work for someone else? Okay, and or even if you're not, how many of you are stay-at-home parents? That's your full-time job as a stay-at-home parent. Okay, great. This even applies to the 10% of you that are here without a business, without a job. You have somebody else that provides for your needs, as I do, so blessed. My husband affords me the ability to be a volunteer. He's given me the blessing of him providing for us, and I get to be a volunteer and travel over the world volunteering, okay? Why? Because my husband is a rock star. That's why. He has blessed me and given me that blessing, and so are my children. My children are not the kids that are saying, hey, you should be building that multi-million dollar company so that I can have a good inheritance, man. What do you mean you're giving the money to the poor? That ain't right. That money should be coming to me. I have 3 of my kids that are here this weekend. That is not what these kids have said. That is not what they said. Not only that, but we don't believe in that anyway. Like, we have money set aside, but it's for their children to learn how to start businesses or to make more money. And they will, too. There's a family bank, of course, that my husband and I have worked to build, a family bank that investments can be made out of and all that stuff. But we don't believe in die and distribute. So my kids are not waiting for me to die so they can get money. Although there are a few of them that have dibs on my wedding ring and some clothes and a car. I got dibs. I got dibs, Mom. I got dibs. It's just stuff that will end up in the trash or end up in their possession. But that's it. Anyway, so no matter if you're a stay-at-home parent, a full-time or a part-time business owner, this applies to you. This, like I said, if you're a full-time parent, you have somebody else that's doing the work of their job is bringing in the provision. Your work is keeping that home intact, raising up the kids, training up the next set of employees that are going to be working or the next business people that are going to be working out in the world. So the first thing is expose. Okay? Exposure is what every business model needs. There is a restaurant in our little town which is the best restaurant in town. However, the business owner doesn't have a clue on how to advertise or to get the word out to bring more people in. So he's okay. He's moderately profitable, but he's not overly successful. He could be overly successful if he actually learned how to get outside of what his current skill set is and to expand his brand, to get people talking about you. Here's the question I have for you. What are you doing today that is causing people to talk about your brand? I was in Pennsylvania recently sitting with a woman who had just heard her husband had just started a restaurant. They've got a great restaurant. They got great food. They got great photography of their food. They do a really good job of their presentation, if you will. But I sat and it's struggling. The business is just barely in the black now, which means that they haven't recovered their investment either. So they're just barely kind of right in there, all right? How many of you have ever had a business that's like that? You're just barely breaking even, right? Haven't recovered your initial investment, but it's just hanging right there. So that's where they were. Gorgeous couple, very talented. She's asking me questions like, you know, well, what can we do to grow our business? I said, well, let me ask you a question. What are you doing to cause your clients to want to tell their friends and family about you? What are you doing that is so different than every other restaurant in town that is causing them to talk about your business. And she sat there stumped. And then she says, well, we just hope that they enjoy themselves and they like the food enough to tell other people about it. Number one, a business plan on hope is no plan. That's not a business. That's a hobby. That's a hope and a prayer. Go to Vegas. Your odds will be better. They will. Go to Vegas. Your odds will be better. If you can't afford Vegas, go to Reno. You can still lose all your money there too. Okay? Well, I just hope that people will like it and then will tell other people about it. So do you know if your customers like the food? I think so. What is your number one selling product? Well, my favorite is... Well, I like... So the question I have for you is, what are you doing? You. What are you doing that is causing people to want to talk about you? Exposure. There's lots of different ways to get exposure. So there could be things you are doing that are causing customers to not talk about you. And there are things about your business that if you made a tiny little tweak would change everything. But most people just like to sell what they're excited about selling instead of finding out what people actually want and giving people what they actually want. So exposure. There's lots of different ways to expose. There's expensive ways to expose, and there's cheap ways to expose. And then there's free exposure. And the free exposure is how I've built every single business I have ever had, is with free exposure. So let's first talk about the expensive ones. Can you give me some ideas that maybe you have tried for exposure? By the way, a business that doesn't have exposure is not a business. You will never, ever build a business unless you have exposure. You have to get exposure. You have to be in front of people. People have to see and hear your brand somehow. They're not going to hear about it unless someone's talking about it. So what's some expensive ways of exposure? Radio. Okay, TV. What else? Billboards. What else? Magazines. So that's called print. That's print media. Okay, you got internet advertising. Okay, chambers, what do you mean? Yes, so that is community. So you got B&I, you got Chamber of Commerce, okay? These are all places to expose your business, expose your brand. Just you being there, you represent that brand. Okay, you got Facebook, Twitter, you got all social media channels. Those are all great places for exposure as well. Say what? Posters, yep, you bet. Absolutely, posters are a great way. Trade shows, yes. I hope you're writing these things down. These are all opportunities that you have to promote your brand. Employee or not, if you're the owner or the employee, you have a way that you can make inways into all of these places to get the word out about your business. Okay, so we've got a lot here already. What else is on there or should be on there? Huh? Parades. Parades are another way to get exposure. Telemarketing is another way to get exposure. Huh? Sign clipper? Whatever that is. Educational seminars are a way for you to get exposure for your brand. Meaning you can be one presenting on behalf of your industry. Absolutely. So that will be presentations. Yep. That's how I did part of my business in my early days. Sponsorships. Yep. Sponsorships is another way. Flyers. Okay. Mailers. Do you know? Mail order still works. How? I don't know. But mail order still works to the tune of billions of dollars. Billions of dollars are generated through mailboxes still to this day. Even though most people do everything through email, people still get mail. And so those are still proven. In fact, the most successful ministries in the world get most of their donations through mail. through mail order, advertising through the mail, writing campaigns of a promise of a miracle in your life if you give $500 now. Decals. Okay, so that's using your car. Merchandise, your body. You could be wearing things on your body that get exposure. For example, when I was in the weight loss business, which I am no longer in the weight loss business. I haven't been in the weight loss business since 1990. I sold my company in 96. I sold that business in 96. So it's 96. That's 21 years ago that I've not been in the weight loss business for a long time. Some people still think I am. No, I'm not. Great business. There will never, ever not be a need for weight loss. It will forever, ever, 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 ever be a product that will always, 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 always sell. No matter what. Seriously, health and fitness will always, 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 always be a great, strong industry to be a part of. So will travel. So will food. All of those things. So will makeup. All of those things will always be around forever and ever. So will fashion. Those things will always be around forever. Anyway, what was I talking about? T-shirts. Thank you so much. So I used to wear a button on my shirt. I used to have a button that I wore on my shirt that said, lose weight now, ask me how. That was a button that I wore. Okay? It worked. I could just be out and about and my goal was 10 new leads every single day. So that's just 10 people asking me about my button, which meant what? I'm at the grocery store, wherever. I'm with the kids, wherever. I'm at the park. You know what I mean? I wore it on my bathrobe because you never know who's coming to the door. I recruited a UPS driver once from that thing being on my shirt. And of course, I had this really cute Latin looking kid on my hip named Roman who lunged from my arms into the UPS driver's arm. So, by the way, kids are great recruiting tools. Great way to get customers. If they're ugly, if they're cute, it doesn't matter. Just kids work in general for recruiting great business. So get you and your kids out of the house and you will be able to have exposure out there. Okay? So this button, I wore it. I probably did for years. I have millions and millions of dollars from a button. Okay, I made one when I was out of the weight loss business. I've got a new attitude. Ask me how. We've got to want to be debt free. That's like, those are great buttons. There's any type of advertising. It's the same as why real estate agents for years, and some of them still do, wear their name, you know, and their brand that is on their shirt. Why? To get people to ask them about it, right? So want to be debt free. It all depends on what it is that you're marketing. It's just a simple little phrase to get somebody to ask you a question. And then I'll show you what to do when they ask you a question. All right, so that's all forms of exposure. Also, all the shirts that I wore, all my casual clothes were nothing but my brand. It was a T-shirt. It was all our own company merchandise. People asked me, what is that about? So I had a company called Total Health, and that's what the shirt said. And I was 9 months pregnant with my son, Cade, third child. I'm about to give birth. My car breaks down, literally, the week I'm due. So I'm not very happy. I'm pregnant, first of all. I'm swollen in every possible part of my body. Okay, my nose is big even. Anyway, so I'm taking my car there, and the guy's asking me questions about my shirt. 7:30 in the morning. No pregnant woman wants to be anywhere at 7:30 in the morning, ever. Not the week she's supposed to be delivering a child. No way, right? But here he is. He's drilling me about my shirt. I'm doing everything I can to tell him, leave me alone. Please fix my car. I don't want to talk about it. He ended up in my business. Why? Because I wore a shirt. If I didn't wear the shirt that day, that would not have happened. Do you know that still to this day, I have business from that one shirt, from that one lead, from that one mechanic. Still to this day. That was 23 years ago this October. My son will be 23. So 23 years ago, a shirt prompted a conversation. I still to this day receive royalties from that one exchange. 23 years in a row. Money. From why? A shirt. If I wasn't wearing that shirt that day, that conversation would not have happened. Do you understand? The button, I'm telling you, millions and millions of dollars from button and shirt. Simple exposure. All right? So there's no excuse. There's no excuse at all. And by the way, that's pretty cheap exposure, right? But you are honestly the best exposure. All right? So exposure. Here's some other things. Anything else? You got anything else? Anybody? Huh? I already said flyers. Were you sleeping? We already said all the Chamber of Commerce, those things. Yard signs, yep, that's another sign, okay. Well, let me give you one that is really, really obvious that most people miss. This isn't the free. Your employees. Your employees are your advertisers. Your employees. So depending on the quality of the relationship, determines whether or not they are going to refer you. Depending on whether or not you have the right people, as they say in business, you have the right people on the bus. If you got the right people on the bus, your employees are doing more for your business than any advertising can do. Yeah, the employees, because the employees are getting the, and same with your customers. Yep. Your customers are also a place for exposure. So if there's no relationship with your customers, there is no advertising coming out of their mouths on your behalf. So this is usually what the mistake that most people make in business is that they think they are selling their service or their product and that's it. No, every human is looking for connection. Every human is looking for relationship. And so it's the businesses that are great at building relationship with the public are the ones who have the most free advertising growing their business for them. So I'm going to prove to you right now that that is true. And I'm going to show you how to do it. How many of you, the very first time you ever heard the name, face, or saw the likeness of Danny Johnson was from a personal referral? Okay, look around the room. All of these people with their hands up first heard the name, the face, the likeness of from a personal referral. Okay, if you're it, put up your hand. Please do, because I want, okay, can you please keep your hand up? Now look around, just look down your rows. Okay. Majority, high 90s, 95% of the people that are in this room have come from a personal referral. Next question. How many of you, that personal referral was not me? So I didn't refer myself. Okay, next. How many of you, the very first time you ever heard our name was from a search engine on the internet? One, two, let me see where your hands are. Just stand up, it's easier to count you if you stand. Okay, so what in the world did you type into Google or Yahoo or whatever, Safari, whatever? One, two, wait, stay standing. One, two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19. 19 people. Out of this entire room, typed what into a search engine? And somehow, DannyJohnson.com popped up. Business, seminars, debt reduction, personal development. Say what? Came up on Facebook. Gotcha. So that means it was a personal referral. Sit your butt down. That was a personal referral. Yeah. You were looking for something, but a friend told you about this. You didn't know who. So somebody else recommended. But it was still a personal referral, right? It was still somebody else that referred me. Same with the other guy that just sat down. Same thing. Somebody else had referred me on their website, right? That's a personal referral. Okay. All right. So that's, 16 people. Out of all of us, we don't advertise on Google or any of that stuff. We're not SEO whatevers. We don't know what the frick we're doing. We don't. We absolutely don't. That's one of our next steps, is to hire someone that does know what they're doing, because we don't. Okay? All right. How many of you, the very first time you ever heard the name, face, or likeness of was on the Oprah Winfrey Show? One, two, three. Wait, is there a fourth one? Nope. Three. Fox and Friends. ABC News. CBS. NBC. CNN. Any radio show. Radio. Secret Millionaire. Stand up, let me count you. First time you ever saw me, myself, and I. Secret Millionaire. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14. Secret Millionaire was much more powerful than Oprah. Was more powerful than NBC, CBS, all of those. That show was more powerful than all of them. Okay, Benny Hinn. 1. CBN. TBN. Daystar. The View with Whoopi Goldberg and that whole crew. None. Well, so far, Benny Hinn and Oprah don't hold a candle to any of you and the persons that told you about us. So it looks like, yes. She investigated me. I was investigated by her. I think it turned out okay. Okay. She found my book. Okay, so how many of you first were introduced by the book? Somebody gave you the book. You heard about the book. Okay, found it in a bookstore. There you go. Guess what? I did not put the book in the bookstore. Somebody else put the book in the bookstore. Yes, exactly. That's a personal referral. The bookstore owner referred that book to you. They're the ones who buy the books that they think are important for people to read or that they think will sell. So that's a personal referral. Okay, so as you can see, what is more powerful than Oprah? All the news stations. Print. Anyone see it in print? Newspaper. I've been in gazillions of Forbes magazine. I was in Forbes magazine. Nope. So what is more powerful than hundreds of radio, TV on the biggest shows in our nation, the biggest shows in the world? What is more powerful than all of that? Personal referral. Personal referral is more powerful than that. Personal referral is more powerful than all of that. Guess what else personal referral does? It sustains no matter what the economy is doing. No matter what is happening with the economy, personal referrals, businesses that are based on personal referrals will be sustained. It's pretty awesome. But if you are 100% dependent on just one form of advertising for business, when that dries up, your business drops. But if you have built a business based on personal referrals, the exposure is continuous and it creates momentum. And the longer that you're in business, the more that it just continues to multiply. The places that I've gone and where people have recognized me or have come up to me on airplanes and airports in other countries, like traveling in foreign countries and people going, have come largely from personal referrals. That's crazy, isn't it? So how many of you think it would be wise to be able to learn the skill of building something based on personal referrals? It works. We've had millions of people come to our website for the last 14 years. Millions upon millions of people have been driven to that site. Thousands every week come to that site. Want to learn how? Why don't you go pee first? Take a 15-minute potty break. All right. Oh, wow. What, Glock wear? Long wear. Wow. 20 years younger. 20 years, easy, 20 years younger. Yeah. Yeah. Wow. Okay. All right, let's keep going. All right, so did you learn anything in the last session? Okay, that was sweet. Did you learn anything in the last session? Okay, so exposure, right? You got lots of ideas of different ways to expose, but then there's the how-to part, and we're going to get into more of that in a minute. All right, from the exposure, then there is the initial connection with the prospect. Okay, this is more of the person-to-person or at least a conversation, right? There's some kind of a conversation, which is the initial connection with the prospect. Some people are really good with the initial connection and some people are really bad with the initial connection. I'll give you an example of a really bad experience with an initial connection. A bad one would be like this little restaurant that was in our town about an hour north of here that had the best Italian food. He brought in his sausage from Sicily. He brought in all of his cheeses from Sicily. He was Sicilian. He was born and raised there. He was here, and he had this amazing, amazing food. However, comma, his service sucked. His service sucked. And his service sucked so bad that it caused us to not go anymore, and I guess we weren't the only ones that stopped going. He went out of business. He actually at one point was very successful and rated the best in our town, and then it just went down from here. Now, let me tell you about the initial connection. Again, so it's a classic case of a 98%er who believes so much in their product but does not understand business. And business is people. If you build people, people build the business. I'm going to say that again. If you build people, people build the business. And so that's the part he didn't get. 98% of the population thinks that if they have a winning product or a winning service, that's what's going to make the win. It is not. Let me prove it to you. How many of you shop at Walmart? What is at Walmart that is a winning, excellent, wonderfully put together product? Nothing. So you actually don't have to have the best product. It is ego that says, I have to be the best with my product or I have to have the best service. But that's not necessarily what somebody wants. And so in the case of food, why do people go to a restaurant and eat? He says because they're hungry. No, I could eat at home if I'm hungry. Right? I can eat at home if I'm hungry. It's the experience. Write that word down. It's a very important word. What experience are you bringing to the public? What experience are you bringing to work each day? What experience are you creating that is causing people to talk about you? So let me tell you about the experience that the Sicilian brought to our town with amazing food. I'm telling you, the sausage was like curled, toeing your curls. I mean, your toes curling, hamstring cramping. You hear what I'm, you know what I'm talking about? You know exactly what I'm talking about. Have you ever had an experience where your toes curled and your hamstrings cramped? Forget it. Somebody figured it out over there. You know what I'm saying? You're sweating, toes curling, hamstring, screaming. You can't breathe. You talk weird. Married people, do you know what I'm talking about? Okay. His spaghetti and pizza. And the meats that he used in his sauces. He had great food. But great food is not enough to succeed. A great Christina Rochelle. That's my child. Stop. You two probably shouldn't be sitting next to each other. Erica is red and Christina is brown. Stop it. Okay. So anyway, here's the deal. It's such a blessing to have my kids here. You have no idea how much that just blesses me that my children would actually come and attend something like this. Is crazy. It's like these poor kids were raised around this. You know what I mean? And people treat them sometimes nice, sometimes not nice. But nonetheless, I'm so blessed that they're here. And my sons-in-laws that are here. such a blessing. Okay, so anyway, stop, back to the sausage. Thanks, Nina. That was good. Back to the food. So here it is. Initial connection with the customer is so important. You've heard this before. You have like one chance to make a first impression, right? So here is where this man failed. It wasn't in the quality of his food, but it was the quality of the connection with the public. So you come into his restaurant. It's hotter than it should be. That's okay. Pizza ovens are hot. Unfortunately, he has them right by the door. Not the best, most efficient place to put your pizza oven, that when someone walks through the door, immediately they feel the heat from the ovens. Okay, that's not a good experience, but okay, we can get past it because we heard the food is good, right? The waitress comes to the table. She does not make any eye contact. She makes no contact with the person. This is, again, the initial connection with the public. So she stands at the corner and says, "What can I get you to drink?" Looking at her paper, not making any eye contact with anybody, okay? She takes the orders. She leaves. She then comes and she throws down forks at the corner of the table and napkins and leaves them at the corner, leaves them for us to pass around the utensils, okay? Yeah. Doesn't make eye contact when she's delivering the food. Never makes eye contact for the entire experience. So the experience is a bad experience, no matter how good the food is, that if the experience is not better than the food, then you will not have people coming back. If the food and the experience is up here, now you will have people telling other people about what you have. So you are creating an experience every time somebody is with you. And that initial connection with your prospect, in the case of us being a family in that restaurant, that if I have to wait too long, if I don't have a good connection with that waitress, you're giving me a bad experience for dinner. So the food doesn't mean anything to me anymore. Your product is totally insignificant because I'm walking away with how I feel. And how I feel is determined by how I'm treated. Did you hear what I said? And that's what people are paying for. They're paying for treatment. They are paying for better treatment than what they can get at home. Otherwise, they would be at home. Does that make sense? So it goes for every job it is that you have. And for those of us that are wives, you see, I used everything I knew in business I brought that into my home. Treated my husband as though he was the CEO. He's the head of our organization. My children were employees, training them up. I'm somewhere in middle management. President, he's CEO. We're both co-founders of this family, right? So I wanted to make sure that my husband, and still to this day, it's the same way. In fact, my brother was at the house when this happened. It's like, okay, it's 5 o'clock. I better go put my makeup on. He's like, why? Because Hans is going to be home within an hour. But why are you going to go get, why are you going to go do that? Because my husband's coming home. Why would I do that? Well, if I would get myself dolled up to come and go to work, but I don't get myself dolled up to present myself to my husband, that is so wrong, and that's wrong priorities. That if I look better when I go to the office than I do when I see him, that means he's a lower priority to me. And that's flat out not right. That if I look better when I go to the grocery store than when I greet him at the door, that means he's a lower priority. That's what that means. If I'm in sweats all day and my hair's in a messy bun and I'm not taking care of myself, I simply am not honoring my boss at all. I'm not honoring myself and I'm not honoring my boss. So whichever way that I would show up for business or some kind of a meeting, I better make sure that I give my husband my best. It's the same reason why there's always an extra pack of clothes inside of my purse or my carry-on bag that's something beautiful and sexy for when he sees me after I've come back from a trip. You'll not see me in sweats. I'll walk in sweats in an airport, but as soon as I land, I'm in the bathroom and this is all getting fixed up. I don't care if it's 1 o'clock in the morning and I just spoke for 3 solid days. I got off stage at 5 o'clock. I jumped on a plane at 7 and I arrived at 1 a.m. He is not going to see me with a ball cap. He's not going to see me greasy. He's not going to see me a mess. He's going to see me looking hotter than hot. And 100% all about him when I see him. Why? He's the highest priority in my life. Why would I look this way on stage here but not present to him? Why would I give him leftovers of me? That's wrong to give him leftovers. That's completely wrong. So anyway, so the initial connection, that means everything. So how are you serving the one that you're serving at home? How are you bringing, presenting yourself to that person? Both of you. This is a both and. My husband looks hot all the time too. So fine, man. This is really bad that I'm talking about him too early in the weekend, because this is going to be really, really bad. He's only an hour away. It's going to torment me for 3 days. Anyway, so the initial connection, what initial connection are you making with the prospect? How are you making them feel? Are you listening to me? How you make the prospect feel determines the success of your organization. How do they feel? It's not so much about how they feel about your product. It's how do they feel being engaged with you? How do they feel being a part of what it is that you're doing? What kind of experience are you bringing to them? So when I asked that woman, what are you doing that's causing people to talk about what you do? She had no idea. Well, how can you make it different than everybody else? Every restaurant comes in, takes an order, takes the drinks, does it in the same way that they do it. Every restaurant then gives you what they promise, food. That doesn't get referrals. That doesn't make you the talk of the town. But what could make you the talk of the town? We're going to get into that. Number three is a presentation. Presentations are supposed to be crafted, and they're supposed to be simple and clear about what it is that you're communicating. And if you understand people, you'll craft it around what the needs are of the people. We'll talk about that later. The fourth one is a close. There always has to be a close after every single presentation. After the close is a follow-up, it's F-U, follow-up. Okay, this is when you begin to mobilize your prospects. The follow-up has a twofold process. Now listen to me carefully, and I've watched this again and again. Is if there is no follow-up, there's no relationship. Some people know how to schmooze people in the initial connection, and they build relationship until they get the sale, until they get the order. As soon as they get the sale or the order, after that, then they drop the customer like a hot rock. They drop them like a hot rock. Why? It's not as exciting to maintain a customer as it is to get a new one. Number one. Another reason why people drop the customer is because they're afraid the customer's going to cancel, so they don't follow up. They're afraid that they're going to hear bad feedback. Write this down, it's really important. Feedback is not an attack. Feedback is not an attack. Feedback helps you to hit the target perfectly. So you actually want feedback from people. So if you're not following up your customer, you've heard this before, the fortune is in the follow-up. This is where relationship begins to be engaged, and it's through the relationship that causes people to want to tell people about you. I've only had one electrician in my entire life cause me to make a Facebook post about my electrician. There's only been one electrician. Now, I have worked with lots of electricians in my life, okay? We have been real estate investors for 25 years. So we have remodeled lots of houses. We've flipped houses. Do you understand? We've always bought the dump in the neighborhood, lived in it, fixed it up, okay, and then sold it. So we've had lots and lots of real estate agents in my life, and I've had lots of electricians in my life. There's only been one, just one electrician that has caused me to sing praises to his name again and again and again. And he's actually here for the first time this weekend. He is amazing to me. His follow-up, his people skills, his heart, his engagement, the way he does his work, and how many times he's come in to rescue me out of a situation, and then I say, okay, where's the bill? And he says, don't worry about it. Not knowing anything about me, our very first connection many, many years ago, On time, he's consistent, totally dependable, does the job, doesn't gouge, shows up with a smile, has a fast solution, does it with care, does it with a heart, not just about the job itself, with a big smile on his face. He walks into my house with a smile on his face. That in itself takes care of my problem. Do you hear what I'm saying? When an electrician walks in with no smile on his face, that says something completely different. So he actually gives me a good experience by the way he carries himself in our home, dealing with our pool pump, dealing with the breaker that keeps breaking, dealing with putting in lights or whatever, however it's way that we remodified this house. And so my husband Hans is building a house right now. There was only one person that we would call for that job. One. His name is John. They ain't no one else. We ain't even going to waste our time getting a bid from anyone else. Why? I don't care if he's more expensive. I want John. My very first time ever having an experience with him, I literally got on Facebook and I wrote all about him. I actually have done a show on you, dude. There has been a TV and radio show done all about you. Your husband's famous, honey, and you didn't know it. Okay. So follow up, mobilize. He made such an impression on me that I made sure that I had John, electrician, in my phone. And I know exactly who to call. Why? He is amazing at what he does. And he doesn't even know what he's doing. Maybe he does, but I'm going to talk about why it works so well. So mobilize. I just told all of you about him. It's the experience that you create for the prospect that determines whether or not people are going to say great things about you or bad things about you or nothing. Most people have people say nothing, and that's because you've not created an experience that is different than every other experience that they've had. All right, so follow up. Following up with a client shocks them. Most people don't follow up. They give the service is done, the bill is paid, gone. I'm out of here. Goodbye. See ya. Done. So what are you doing that is causing people to want to talk about you? Well, let me ask you this. Who do you talk about and why? Why do you talk about them? How many of you give referrals? What provokes you to give referrals? Right? What provokes you to give the referrals? Write the list down of what provokes you to give a referral. And if you start doing those things for the prospects or for your community, then you'll end up with referrals. It's really simple. Okay, number 6 is duplicatable systems. Duplicatable systems. People are not duplicatable, but systems are. People are not duplicatable, but systems are. And if systems are not simple, they are not duplicatable. Number 7, at least in my experience, number 7 is leadership development. Now let's unpack these. We already unpacked exposure. But let's go to the initial connection. There is inside of this right here, this is called magnetic influence. I think this is like 2 hours. I'm taking my shoes off. Go away. My feet are not pretty. It's okay. I don't care. Inside of magnetic influence has a list of about 15 strategies for making an initial contact with people and building rapport. It's called the core rapport methodology, all right? We highlight some of those in the book, but let's go through a couple of them right now. I just stepped on tape. Okay. So, number 1, make your product people instead of the product line you think you're selling or the service you think you're selling, all right? Your product is people. So if you're a stay-at-home parent, who's your product? Your husband and your kids, okay? Your husband and your kids. Product is people. That's your main. highest level customers or highest level product than everybody else outside of there. Everyone else outside of the community is also. If you are an employee, who is your product? It's not just your customers, but it's also your coworkers. Your coworkers, your boss, your coworkers, okay? So make your product people. And you put more focus on people than you do the product. The product is nothing but a tool. That's it. It's a tool. It's a way to exchange money. But the way to get to the place where you cause a person to want to buy your product or buy your service as an electrician, let's say, or as a contractor, because those are services, right? Or a restaurant sells food. When you get beyond that product and you make your product people, now if people are the product, you will approach the business completely different. So let's talk about how to do that. If you make people your product, you have to figure out what do they want? What do they like? What are their desires? What are their needs? What are their biggest aching problem, pain point, stress point, point of contention? The thing that causes them frustration, whatever that is, you can learn exactly how to find out what those questions, the answers to those questions are. Once you have those answers, now you can help to fill the need, solve the problem, relieve the frustration. The bigger the problem, hello, the bigger the paycheck, okay? So you find out what people want. How in the world do you find out what people think? Oh, that's really sweet of you. This is my friend Mona. We have played a lot of cards together. We've traveled the world together. So if the product is people, okay, if the product is people, we have to find out what it is that they like, all right, and we want to find out what they don't like. And we stay away from the don't like list, and we really highlight the like list, all right? So people have a need, a desire. Now, everyone is individual and different. The way you find these things out is by asking questions, okay? Interview people. Interview people. You know, my little brother has come to our house to visit here in Texas, first time in 8 years. And before that, I think you've been to my house like twice or three times or something like that. Okay, so... And we used to go up to Oregon like once a year for many, many years and whatever. So we would see each other like once a year. It's pretty much all that my brother and I pretty much have seen each other for the last 30 years. Yeah. So here I am sitting. Yeah, hint, hint. When you move to Texas, I'll see you all the time. Be perfect place to live. No, he's moving. Yes, he's moving. Sean, I don't know what the heck you're waiting for. But anyway, my brother's going to move before you do. Just kidding. Just kidding. It's okay. It's all right. I still love you. Anyway, okay. So I'm having a conversation with my brother and I'm figuring out there's a whole lot of things I don't know about him. Okay. And I want to give you an acronym that I've used for years to honor people, to find out more about who they are, to find out what their needs are, to find out what their dreams are that maybe they don't even know what those are. Where to help them discover even in themselves what actually motivates themselves. I'm going to show you a simple little acronym that's going to help you lead a conversation in a way where you can build a really good, solid connection with somebody, whether they are your brother, your father, your husband, your wife, your boss. This works with everybody, and you want to use it with everybody. Okay, the acronym is FORM. This is how you form a rapport, even with people that you have blood relationships with or perfect strangers, okay? This applies to everybody, everywhere, all the time. So, family is what the F stands for. Occupation. Recreation for the R. And M stands for message. So how do we do this? It's a simple little thing. How do you find out what people need? You ask them. How do you find out what they like? You ask them. How do you find out what they're frustrated with? You ask them. You ask questions. He who asks the most questions wins. He who's doing all the talking loses. So you want to get really good at no longer talking about yourself and talking about your product and talking about all the things that you're fascinated with, and you want to now start asking questions. Stop being a talker and start being an asker. Ask simple questions about their family, about what they do for work, about what they do for fun, and then you'll give them a message, and I'll teach you how to do that in a minute. So that's how, and I'll do a demonstration of that in a minute. But what do people like in general? We have some things that we have in common that we really enjoy, and then there are things that are very specific to each one of us. So one thing I can tell you is smiling is huge. A smile will make you more approachable and cause people to trust you simply from a smile. Why? People like to be smiled at. That's why. People like to be smiled at. It makes the other person feel special and important. And there's been lots of studies done concerning people, and one of the common threads that all human beings have is a deep, burning desire to feel special and important. It's one of the reasons why certain part of our population likes to look to celebrities and study celebrities and what they're wearing and what's going on in their life, that somehow they feel like they could be sort of like them, or they feel inspired by those people. They want to either be like them one day, or they feel like they are just like that person. Okay, this makes them feel special and important. Everyone has a different feeling of importance. Your job is to find out what that is. But at the very basics, a smile makes someone feel special and important. And a frown makes someone feel like they're either in trouble, that they're rejected, that they're unwanted, that they don't matter, and they have no value. So a frown, I want you to... In fact, let's just do this, okay? I haven't done this in a long time. Can I get the whole first row to stand up, turn around, and face everybody else? Everybody in the first row and everyone in the crowd, everyone smile. Show it all. Let it go. Come on, just get it all. Just real big. Man, handsome is all get out. You've been frowning at me for 3 hours, okay? Okay, so I want you to do this. I want you to analyze this, because this is so simple. This is so simple. My husband literally at 16 years old had a mentor of him say, "What's your goal?" And Hans was making $5 an hour and he wanted to make 10. And Damien told him, "Write it down. Write it down, and I want you to find a job that pays $10 an hour." He's like, "But I don't have the experience." I'm like, "Hans, just smile. Write the number down, and I want you to go on some job interviews, and I want you to smile. Smile in these job interviews." So that's exactly what he did. He went on these job interviews, and they'd ask him, "How much experience do you have?" "None." "Have you ever been a commercial driver before?" "No." "How old are you?" "16. Mm-hmm. Big smile. He answered every hard question with a smile. He answered the easy questions with a smile. He got hired and doubled his income. From what? A smile. A smile. A smile changes your attitude, number one. It shows that you have confidence even when you don't. Even when you don't have any confidence, it shows that you do. "Well, Danny, I don't think that's right." No, actually, it makes you feel confident. A smile makes you feel more confidence. And what is confidence, by the way? Can someone please identify confidence for me? Is it something physical? Is it something tangible? Is this confidence? 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 Can someone please go buy me some confidence? Which store carries confidence? Wait, I found it! It's right here. Is this it? Is this the confidence? Is this confidence? I got it. Confidence. Where do you buy confidence? What is confidence? Nothing but a feeling. It's nothing but a feeling. Nothing but a feeling. Nothing but a feeling. It's all it is. It's a freaking feeling. Who's in charge of, who's in charge of your feelings? I just made up a new word. Who's in charge of your feelings? Am I in charge of your feelings? Is your spouse in charge of your feelings? Are your kids in charge of your feelings? That's a great freaking word. I love that word. I'm in charge. Are you in charge? It's, I like in charge. Hashtag in charge. Okay. In charge. I went to First Test Success and I learned how to be in charge. I don't care who you are, that's funny. That's really good. Concharge. Okay, anyway, who's in charge of your feelings? You are in charge. I'm not in charge of your feelings. You're in charge of your feelings. No one else is in charge of your feelings besides you. Just you. Only you. And a smile changes your conchargeness. A smile changes your feelings, which changes your conchargeness and your confidence. So if you need more confidence, even if you don't have any teeth, even if you have no teeth or you just have four left and they're black, smile. Concharge yourself. And concharge your feelings. Okay, so you're smiling. Hey, you stop smiling. Quit being so serious. I am actually working on this one right now, I promise you. And it's a goal of mine this weekend is to have some more fun. No, seriously. My husband recently, it was really, really funny. I can't remember where we were here in San Antonio. It was after the last event. And we were, anyway, it doesn't matter where we were or what we were doing. But the point is that the conversation was about the fact that I'm so serious. Right? No, it's very true. It's very true. If you actually really knew me, you would know that I'm very, very... I plan my fun. Sometimes I forget to. Anyway, so I purposely have fun people in my life for that reason, because I'm not very good at this. And so it's a major weakness of mine. Fun is not my strength, and I'm working on it. Right? So it was really funny, because I had said something to Hans, and something about fun, and he's like, He just went, I went, I know, I'm not very good at that. And he's like, no. I go, you really think I'm not very good? He's like, no. Am I too serious? Was I this serious when we met? Yeah, you know, I would definitely not have categorized you as a fun girl. Very serious. Anyway, let's have some fun. Yes, I'm working on that. For the next 40 years of my life, I want to be funner than I've been. We're going to start with funner. Let's just start with fun. You can better start with just fun. Concharge yourself right now. Okay, listen. You see how you're feeling right now? Okay, you're smiling. You're having a good time. Automatically, it makes you feel better about life. It really is that simple. I can tell you days and years even in my life where I felt so bad about things. I felt bad about myself. The business wasn't moving as fast as I thought it should, or it was right after I got embezzled. Now I've got just got so much doubt. Every phone call I'm making, I've got doubt with that phone call. Every presentation I'm doing, I'm bringing fear to the table instead of confidence to the table. I'm feeling worthless. I'm feeling useless. My past is haunting me and reminding me of who I'm not. And I remember waking up on the wrong side of the bed. And I remember my back was hurting and my legs were hurting and my head was hurting. Everything was wrong. How many of you ever had one of those mornings, weeks, days, months, years, right? So I remember, it's so funny, pressing play on an audio teaching that was my own. And it was talking about this right here, about smiling, right? And I'm like, And I made the choice that day. In my mind, I had nothing to smile about, but I made the choice that day. All right, I'm going to do this. And I chose to smile, and I put the smile on my face. I walked around the house with a smile. I started making phone calls with a smile. I watched my office with a smile. Okay, even though it was a smile, eventually, within a couple of hours, my entire day changed. And the results changed simply because I concharged myself and I told myself to smile. I forced myself to smile, even though I couldn't come up with a list of things to smile about. It all changed when I made the choice to follow directions instead of follow my feelings. Because confidence goes like this. Have you ever noticed? Confidence goes like this. And who's in charge of your confidence? You are. And the best way to change it is to smile. I told you, we're going to make that a word now, concharge. Okay? So everyone do it right now. Smile. When you're looking at these guys and you guys looking at them, tell me what it is that you see. Teeth. You see more than teeth, bozo. You see acceptance. You see acceptance. You see fun. Peace, confidence, life, approachable, okay? Everyone in the room frown right now. Just kill it. They're all scary. This guy's serious again. Okay, frown. Just come on, everybody in the room frown. Everybody frown. Everyone frown. Everyone frown. Whew. Can you feel the heaviness that just entered the room? You could even close your eyes and feel. They are offspring. I did that. Mr. Drysdale, that's a really good frown.
That's his normal face.
Thanks for pointing that out, wife. He's really working on it. I am as well working on it. I understand. Analyzers analyze, and when we analyze, our face looks like we're analyzing. Actually, our face looks like we're constipated. It's more of what that looks like. It really does. Okay, come on. Listen, everyone frown. Does it look like people are constipated? It does. Looks like you're constipated. Looks like you're disgusted, frustrated, perturbed. You want everyone to get away from you. You want nothing to do with what's going on. You're disengaged. And that's what you're sowing into another person. Isn't it wild? Okay, I want you to do this. Frown and close your eyes. Let's not let our eyes even deceive us. What do you feel? Hardness, negativity, anxiety, oppression, rejection. Now keep your eyes closed and smile. Okay, just sit with a smile with your eyes closed and tell me now what you feel. Lighter, relieved, happy, playful, peaceful. That you made the room brighter somehow when your eyes are closed. You're staring at your eyelids. But simply a smile, you can open your eyes. Simply a smile raises your value at home and at work in the marketplace. Our son Micah just came back off of working on a movie project. I don't know if you saw the Facebook Live that he and I did, but this kid stood out amongst that entire crew, the youngest one hired on that crew with no experience at all. He made it a point to remember people's names, which is another thing you should write down. Remember people's names, that honors people, that respects people. People love hearing their name. And they love seeing smiles. How can you stand out above everybody else? Smile. Smiling makes you better looking. Makes you more attractive. No matter how big your butt is. No matter how big your butt is, I promise. No matter how bow your legs are. No matter what. No matter what you look like. You got one eye and three teeth. A smile makes you better looking. It really does. So his whole point was to smile. Remember people's names, smile, and form people. Get people to talk about themselves. This is crazy to me. His boss wrote me a letter telling me how awesome my son was. I was compelled. I don't know who you are, Mrs. Johnson, but I feel like I know you through your son. The character of your son impacted my life. I almost quit my job. But your son and his character and his smile and how he remembered my name and how he took an interest in me personally made me keep going another day, another day. The project is done. And my life has been forever changed because of your son. What? She then goes on to say, I grew up in a violently abusive home with drugs, and I have been hopeless. And I've been hopeless about this next generation coming up. But I now have hope because of your son and the example that he has set. He is an honorable young man. Good job, Mom. Remember people's names. Smile. Get to know people. He had no experience. And if you asked him, he was terrified on the job. He was terrified. And he didn't even like the work that he was doing. He wondered why he was even there. And every day he had like fear and anxiety of screwing the whole thing up. And he felt like he was doing a terrible job. But several adults twice his age in the movie business, the camera operator and her husband that does all the creative stuff with the camera, same thing, says to him, every day I saw your smile, it made me know that nothing is too bad or too wrong. She said, whenever things would drop, producers are screaming, things are a mess, I would look at you, Micah, and you were still smiling. And I figured, if Micah's still smiling, then so can I. He's 18. He's 18, and he changed the environment of the heads of the organization. He's 18, influencing those who are supposed to be influencing him. With what? A smile. A smile makes you more valuable in the marketplace. For a minute, I forgot. Last week, we have a bride that we're getting ready to get married. I had this event. I have a new event that I'm writing content for. Lots of stuff going on. I finished fitting the bride, come downstairs. My daughter-in-law says, it looks like you're thinking about a lot of things. I'm like, ugh. So sorry. You're right. Hi. Love you. I'm so glad you're here. Because when we're caught up in our head, thinking, 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 not being aware of the fact that people are seeing, seeing, seeing. Yes. And it can cause people to be afraid, to think they've done something wrong, to think that you don't like them, to think you're mad at them. Do you understand? And that in the workplace does not create great morale. It does not create good production. So simply smiling changes the atmosphere. And those that choose to lead in the marketplace with a frown end up getting worked out of a job. End up getting set up to be laid off. Why? Because you're sucking life out of the organization instead of giving life into the organization. Simply a smile. Let me just ask you. Does your smile depend on your age? No. Does it depend on your race? No. Does it depend on your religion? No. It doesn't depend on anything. You want to break all barriers? Smile. Smile, smile, smile. It gives hope. It gives inspiration. It impacts people. It changes the atmosphere. You can control the atmosphere with a smile. Sit down. Talk to every person as though they are a friend. Talk to every person as though they are your friend. Get rid of your formalities and speak on a level of concern and admiration of the person. This is honoring to other people. Honor seems to be something that is gone today. Honor of oneself, respect of oneself, and respect and honor of others. But what I'm talking about, smiling is honoring people. My husband, I remember years back, he had shared with me that the most important thing for him to see on me is a smile. That my smile makes him feel like he can accomplish anything. That my smile communicates to him that I love him. That my smile to him means that I'm happy and that I'm happy to be his wife. I was somebody that walked around with a frown all the time. And my kids saw that frown. And it creates all kinds of pressure. And so honor is smile. Simply how to honor your fellow man, how to honor your children, how to honor your spouse, how to honor the people you work with is to smile. If you carry a smile into that place, I promise you things are going to change. So honor and respect work a couple of different ways. So it's not only making your product people, it's not only smiling, but it's also learning how to make them more important than you. This is a lifelong thing to develop in yourself. I'm way better than I used to be 29 years ago. I'm nowhere near where I will be when I'm 80. I'm going to be a freaking rock star at this when I'm 80. Okay? I'm not there yet. I'm better than I was, but I'm not at any stretch of the imagination perfect with it. I've done enough to be able to create referrals, for there to be referrals that come in from all over the world every day. Those referrals come in because of these simple things that we're talking about, okay? So treat everybody as though they're a friend. People love honesty, and they love transparency more today than ever, and they love authenticity. And leaders have a tendency of trying to put on airs and trying to put up a front instead of being honest. Now, I have a question for you. I just want to see everyone close your eyes. How many of you on your lunch break, you called somebody that you wronged to make it right, to ask for forgiveness? About 20 people. You can open your eyes. About 20 people called someone that they wronged. Is it that the other 800 people didn't do anything wrong? It's authentic. And it's humble. And it's honoring and very respectful to make a wrong right. And it builds trust. But in a relationship, whether business or professional, I mean business or personal, if you cannot admit you're wrong, you're like everybody else. It's weak suck. And if you can't take responsibility for your wrong, you're weak suck. But if you can humble yourself and make it right, that whether it is your parents that you put through hell, or it is your boss that you spoke badly about, or that you've wasted time doing things you know you shouldn't do, or you've dishonored somebody in your family, and you know that you did, you come into a high level of value and power when you're able to say, I was wrong, please forgive me, and I want you to hold me accountable. I'm gonna work on this, and I don't ever want this to happen again. And there's no excuse for my actions, and there are no excuse for my mouth. What I did was wrong, period, end of story. And I'm working on never doing that again. People trust people who are honest. And people who cannot admit to a wrong, and people who cannot say they're sorry, and people who cannot ask for forgiveness, and people that choose to stick with that stubbornness inside of their heart are people that will continue to have relationships that are far away from them, continue to have people that don't trust them, and continue to have a mediocre level of value in the marketplace. So as somebody who wants to be influential in the marketplace, which is you, you got to get really good at saying, I'm sorry. You got to get really good at saying, I'm sorry. Versus the 98% plan, which is trying to be perfect. 98%ers are trying to be perfect. If I never screw up, I never have to say sorry. That's all ego driven. That's all ego driven. No, it's get really good at saying, I'm sorry. I failed. Will you please forgive me? I'm going to work on that. I'm going to get better at that. I dropped that ball. I missed that catch. I screwed that one up. I forgot, and that was wrong. And I don't want to say I'm sorry 15,000 times, so please hold me accountable. I want to do better next time. That builds trust with your public. Same with your customers. So when a customer is disgruntled, not happy with the service, what do you say? I'm sorry. Please forgive me. We screwed up. Don't justify, well, the manufacturer, listen. No, the customer doesn't care about the manufacturer. The customer doesn't care about what happened on the website. All they care about is that what you promised them, they feel they didn't get. So this is where you have to say, I'm sorry. Please, come on, you can do it. Come on, come on. Come on, you can, please forgive me. Ask questions, listen. When you ask questions, it's important to listen, to find what it is that they truly desire. Whether it's a problem that was done with the product or the service, and that problem now needs to be solved, ask the customer how they would like it to be taken care of. If all you do is give the person a refund, they're not satisfied. You got to wow them. You got to go beyond that. How do you save that customer that's disgruntled and turn them into a referral? How? It's not only giving them money back, but give them far more than that. And the most important thing to give is honor and respect of their time. I'm going to stop right there. Like I said, there's 15 different strategies in there. We spent like 15 minutes on just a smile. How many of you know you can smile? I'm telling you, Tuesday morning when you head to work for the first time, or Wednesday morning, whatever it is that you're heading back to work, that one alone can get you a raise if you choose to do it. All right, I'm going to demonstrate the communication side, communication skills. Where am I at? Sorry. I need a volunteer, Shane, who's never been here before, who's never been here before. You are very popular. Here's the stairs. Is there stairs right there? There's stairs right there that I cannot see. Hi, Shane.
Hi, Danny.
I'm Danny.
Nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you. Why are they voting for you?
Because they are incredible friends.
Are they? That's awesome. Okay, you've never been here before?
Never been here.
This is your first time?
Yes.
You came obviously by a personal referral?
Yes. Those two amazing people.
The Harmsworths?
Yes.
They have a tendency of doing that. Pretty awesome. Have you ever been to Walmart?
Yes.
You have? Mm-hmm. More than once?
Yes.
Okay, cool. We're at Walmart.
We're at Walmart?
We
oh.
are at Walmart.
Okay, we're at Walmart.
Right now.
Okay.
We don't know each other.
Okay.
We're just doing our Walmart run.
Okay.
Right? Mm-hmm. The line's really long.
Okay.
So we're over there. And that's the checkout stand. The store is packed. See all these people? Five checkers are working today. The self-check has the longest line. Table flip. I'm out. Okay. You can feel it already? Okay, awesome. So we're standing in line and just be as natural as you feel. Man, this place is packed. Do you normally shop here at this time?
Unfortunately.
There's a lot of people here. Is it always busy when you shop here at this time?
Oh, it is. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
I hadn't thought about that one.
Yeah. Yeah. Where, are you from here locally?
No.
You're not. Where are you from?
Indiana.
Indiana. Wow, so you're just visiting?
Yes.
This Walmart.
It looks like the one at where I live.
Yeah, they're pretty easy to find everything, yeah? Yeah, so from Indiana, what part?
South Bend.
South Bend, Indiana. Hey, what are they, tell me about South Bend, Indiana.
Notre Dame football.
Oh.
If you've seen the movie Rudy.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's great. Are you a football fan?
Not really.
So, how long have you been in South Bend, Indiana?
Thanks to my roommate, I now know it's been 20 years.
20 years.
My roommate, thank you. Thanks, Chris. Thank you.
20 years you've been in South Bend, Indiana.
Yes.
That's amazing. So what do you love about it?
I'm there for my job.
What, you what?
I'm there for my job.
Oh, you are. So are you married?
No.
Not married. You're single. Ever been married?
Divorced.
Oh, I'm sorry. Kids?
No.
No kids. Wow. And you're single?
Yes.
Are you looking?
Not at this moment. I'm trying to be quiet and just listen and receive.
That's awesome. That's good. So what's your job?
I work in television.
Oh, what do you do?
I manage all the websites for our corporation.
What's the corporation?
LaCie Broadcasting. It's a Christian broadcasting
company.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've heard of them. Yeah, that's awesome. So how long have you been doing that?
18 years.
What do you like about it?
Specifically, I enjoy knowing that the websites that we're building are reaching people around the world, even if I don't get to meet those people.
Wow. And reaching them how?
Either through the music that we send out, or the word, or programs that we put out, or we send Bibles around the world. Wow. And we have a food relief organization.
Wow. Mm-hmm. So out of everything you just mentioned, what do you like the best?
When I get to travel with the company.
Really? Mm-hmm. Where have you been?
I've been to Kenya and Israel and Mongolia and China.
Wow.
And I get to see firsthand that they walk the walk.
Wow. So out of all those countries, what one is your favorite?
Israel.
Where do you want to go?
Where do I want to go? I want to visit every country.
You do?
Seriously. Yeah.
Wow. What do you not like about your job? The line is moving.
Oh, sweet.
Yeah. What do you not like about being in the broadcast business?
I enjoy working with a team, but because of the economy, we had to downsize. Mm. And I used to have a huge staff, and we were a team, and we were working this out together and figuring it out. And now I have great conversations with myself about the direction of our company.
Oh, no. Really?
Yes.
So is it that you don't like working by yourself, or that you don't like the fact that you lost the team?
I thrive in a team environment.
Mm.
So that's when I can collaborate and I can feed off of the energy of other people with those creative ideas.
Mm-hmm.
That just gets me going.
Does it? Tell me more about that.
Well, I actually am trying to make that happen separately from the day job.
Mm-hmm. But tell me about, like, how that stimulates you, or...
Oh, when I can ask questions and I can look in a person's eyes and I just see that sparkle come alive as, like, I'm like, that's an awesome idea. Go with that. Bring it. Tell me more.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we have this thing where we put our hand over our heads, which is, it's safe. It is safe. You can say whatever you want to say, mm-hmm. and we're not going to criticize you.
Mm-hmm.
And when you can see somebody just light up mm-hmm. and just start sharing whatever it is, and then we can take that and grow with it, and like maybe it becomes a brand new website or a new thing that we're going to try.
Mm-hmm.
I love that.
That's awesome. That's awesome. So what do you like to do for fun in Indiana?
Go to Chicago.
What do you like to do if I were to come to South Bend, Indiana, like what's fun to do there?
Take you to Chicago.
How far is Chicago?
An hour and a half.
Oh, that's not bad. Now, what do you like to do for fun in Chicago?
Eat. There is a hotel that I love to stay at
mm-hmm.
That is nowhere else in the United States, Swiss Hotel. And a lot of people from foreign countries stay there because they're all over the world. So mm-hmm. I get to have conversations with people that aren't from here. So it's another reminder for me of, because I live in the United States, I sometimes get focused on me and mm-hmm. the U.S. and us,
mm-hmm.
that there's a much bigger world out there.
Mm-hmm.
And it reminds me of other people's viewpoints, and I just get to go, oh, yeah, that's right. It's not just us here. There are people elsewhere.
You know, I couldn't help but noticing earlier you were talking about the fact that you want to see all the countries. Like, what's the first country that you want to go to that you haven't already been to?
The first country I want to go to that I haven't been to. I'm going to go to Ireland.
Yeah? Mm-hmm. Tell me why.
Because of a movie that I'm trying to make.
Really? Tell me about that.
Tell you about the movie?
Sure.
It's about a young 20-something Irish priest that comes to America for the first time at Christmas. And have you seen Patch Adams?
No, sir.
The movie Patch Adams?
Mm-mm.
Okay. If you've seen Patch Adams, then you know about that there, the character loves to just pour into patients at the hospital, mm-hmm. trying to make them laugh. Because being, when you're in the hospital, it's one of the saddest places you are. So if you can bring a smile to somebody's face, as you were talking about, it just, for a moment, it brings joy to them, mm-hmm. and they forget about their situation. Mm-hmm. So that's what he does. He's a 20-something priest, but he lives in the moment, and he's used to that. Mm-hmm. And he meets this 9-year-old little girl who has a heart condition. They're mm-hmm. not sure if she's going to live. Mm-hmm. And she asks him for the wish of a lifetime to find her husband.
Oh, wow.
And he's like, what?
Wow.
She has this list.
Right.
This list of all the requirements for a husband. Mm-hmm. Important things like he can't smell bad after 10 a.m. And he has to be able to run faster than her so that when they get in a fight and she runs away, he can catch her and bring her back.
Wow.
And he doesn't know what to do with this list.
So did you write this?
No. I found a Hollywood writer, and I read the script, and I fell in love with it. And I was like, I want to make this movie.
So you want to go to Ireland?
Yes, because he's Irish, and the writer is Irish. Mm. And I have this connection with Ireland because I have family from long ago that are there. Mm-hmm. And there's something there. I don't mm-hmm. know what it is. Mm-hmm. Just like I didn't know what it is, why I need to be here for this weekend. I just
at Walmart?
At Walmart, yes. There was something I had to get. I didn't know what, but I knew I'd find it when I was here.
That's good.
Yes.
That's really good. Wow. You know, what was your name?
Shane.
I'm Danny.
Hi, Danny.
Very nice to meet you. Nice it's been fascinating. You have helped the line, pain.
The time's passed.
It's yes, like, you have there. Helped. Like, thank you so much. You've brightened my day. I love hearing you talk about everything you were talking about.
Thanks for asking.
Yeah, absolutely. I feel like it was awesome that I got to meet you. You know, I couldn't help but notice that you were saying that you really love working in a team environment.
Yes.
And you love to collaborate different ideas and create that safe place where people can just share whatever and not be criticized or put down or belittled based on their thought process. I really respect that tremendously. And yet I also noticed that you were saying that that team has like shrunk down to just you, which can be very frustrating. And
yes.
and you'd love to go to Ireland and you know, make that movie mm-hmm. project that you have. And you love being able to build things to where you know people are being impacted and affected. I just admire all of those things that you were telling me. Now, I don't know if you have the kind of qualifications or of the kind of person or even the skill sets of the kind of person that we have a tendency of working with, but you might know someone else has some very similar interests that you have that in this down economy is looking for maybe a better work-related experience. We're looking for people who work really well in collaborated forms where people are really good at drawing creativity out of others and sharing ideas and sharing dreams and aspirations and vision, mm-hmm. And people who want to travel around the world and explore different cultures and different mindsets and get a different flavor and try the food and experience all of those things. Mm-hmm. So I don't know if you might know someone that would be looking for a working experience like that, but I'd love to exchange contact information with you and maybe send some people your way that might be able to help you with your movie project, whether it's funding or whatever it is that you would need, and maybe you might know someone that, you know, is looking for to work with an organization that would allow them to be in a awesome team environment, pulling out the best in people, creating safe places and creativity and vision and dreaming and new ideas and building something that affects people and at the same time being able to travel around the world and help people, even building houses for the extreme poor, not only Bibles but houses for the extreme poor. So what's your best contact information?
My cell phone.
Your cell phone?
Yes.
Okay, what's that number?
You want it right now?
Yeah, make it up.
In front of everybody at Walmart?
No.
Okay.
You can pretend.
574-555-1212.
That's a great phone number. It's really easy to remember. That's awesome. And what's the best time to contact you?
Anytime.
Like, anytime. I mean, when are you off work? Like, I don't want to interrupt you.
I understand.
You know, especially when you're working on a movie project and stuff like that, too.
You know, after 5:30?
After 5:30?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, awesome.
Absolutely.
All right, so I'll just get you some information, and you can pass it on to whoever it is that you can think of that would like to work in a creative environment where they're drawing vision and dreams out of people and collaborating together and being able to travel around and experience new culture and new people. Yeah.
That's great.
All right. So,
thank you.
You can pass it on to somebody else. I'll give you a call once I get out to my calendar. It'll either be today or tomorrow.
Really?
I have to just see my calendar and see what's available. And again, I'll be thinking of some people that I might know that if you're needing help with your movie project or funding or whatever.
Absolutely.
Yeah, when we talk next, I'll find out really what you might need that I might know some people that can help with that too.
Thank you.
So nice to meet you, Shane.
Nice to meet you.
Yeah. Bless you.
Thank you.
Okay. All right, cool. No, you're going to stay right there.
Okay.
Can I ask you a question?
Yes.
We're at Walmart, right?
Yes.
Am I married?
I didn't look.
Do I have kids?
I don't know.
Where do I work?
I have no idea.
What's the company name? What do we sell? Do I have a business?
I don't know.
Am I the employee? The owner? The founder?
No idea.
Where do I live? What city? What state? You know absolutely nothing about me.
No.
And yet you gave me your phone number.
You're good.
When you are interviewing someone, and you should interview everybody everywhere all the time, except for your days off, when you are set aside to be with your family, for the purpose of building relationship and building a contact list. Connectors have high value in the marketplace. Connectors have high value in the marketplace. Connectors are resourceful. Connectors are go-to people. People go to connectors. Connectors are networkers, and they are powerful. And they can always get a lot done and done at a cheap price. They also can help people find jobs, connect businesses to business. So therefore, people love to be around connectors. And if you want to raise your value in the marketplace, become a connector. That means that at Walmart, standing in line, you are communicating with the person behind you or in front of you, forming a rapport with them. And what you're looking for when you're asking these questions is their sign, which is their strengths, interests, goals, and needs. Strengths, interests, goals, and needs. That's what I was looking for while I was listening to Sean.
Shane.
Sorry.
No.
I knew it when it left my mouth, was why I looked at you. When Shane was talking, and I was asking about his family, occupation, recreation, my message was completely targeted around his strengths, interests, goals, and needs. And I found them out within about 120 seconds. But we're in a long line, so I'm going to continue to lead the conversation, getting him to continue to talk more and more and more and more about himself. And when I'm about to leave is when I'm about to give my message. How many of you would like to get referred more often? And how many of you would like people speaking highly of you? There are things that we do and say that causes people to talk about us. And you actually can make a difference in what they say based on how you develop that relationship. So in this setting, he gave me his phone number knowing nothing at all about me. Absolutely nothing. doesn't know what my product, my service, where I'm from, if I have kids, if I'm married, what my interests are, what I do for fun, what my job is, nothing. Why did you give me your phone number?
I felt like I could trust you.
Why could you trust me?
Because you were asking about me.
Exactly. Trust really doesn't have that much to do with you. It has nothing to do with your past. I could be a criminal. I seriously could be a criminal. He gave me his phone number. I could be someone that robs people blind. He gave me his phone number. Why? He felt, hello? Felt, he what? Felt like he could trust me. Why? People trust people who are interested in them. That's why. People trust people who are interested in them. That's how you built trust with the person that you're currently sleeping with. Is they listened to what you had to say. They valued what you said. For some reason, after people get married, all of a sudden, they don't talk to each other anymore. All of a sudden, they don't just ask questions and let the person talk for hours on end anymore. They don't want to hear them anymore. And this is usually how relationships end up getting broken up. So like I said, some people are really good with the initial connection, but as soon as they get what they want, they drop it like a hot rock. The relationship has to go all the way through in order to succeed. All the way through in order to succeed. This is mediocre success. Getting what you want is mediocre. It's hypocritical. Going the whole distance and continue to form and to continue to build upon that relationship, that's where that will become a mutually beneficial long-term, and that's where referrals will continue to be kicked out. Now, let's do another example. Can we be back at Walmart?
Sure.
Okay, cool. Same setting. Wow, can you believe how crazy busy this place is?
This is ridiculous.
Isn't it? I think so too. You know, you seem like a really kind of a smart guy, and you seem like the kind of guy that would do really well in my business. I am a part of an organization named XYZ, and we specialize in helping people to make sure they don't get cancer with essential oils. We also help people with some vitamins and some nutrients. And I think you would really enjoy these. In fact, here, I have peppermint right here. Take a whiff. Isn't that, how's that feel? See, it opens up all your senses and makes you feel really good. You almost can have a spiritual experience.
Yeah, I'm having something.
Okay, and so would you, and also what I have is I am a part of a fitness program, and we're helping people to save their lives through fitness. Uh-huh. And so we have, it's really awesome. It's all on videos. I'm sure you've seen them. I'm sure you've seen the fitness videos that we have on infomercials. Right. It's really, really good. In fact, Tony, he's incredible. He'll kick your butt. He'll kick your butt. Uh-huh. I would love to get your phone number. Would you like to buy some essential oils?
I'm going to get back to you on that one.
Okay.
If I could have a card, I'll just, yeah.
Okay.
And I'll call you.
Would you be interested in some fitness videos? They're really awesome. They're the best. They're amazing. Here, look. Check it. Check it, man. Check it.
I'm good. Thank you.
Here, Phil.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Join my downline.
I'm busy that day.
I also sell insurance.
I'm going to have to wash my hair.
This is awesome. You're hilarious. Okay, time out. How come you don't want my stuff?
Oh my gosh.
Don't you want my essential oils in my workout plan?
I want to be anywhere else right now.
Don't you want to buy a house with me?
No.
You want to buy my insurance?
No, thank you.
Why not? I'm the same person.
It's not you, it's me.
That was a mic drop right there.
absolutely awesome. Okay, time out. That's awesome. All right, so look, that's the same scenario. We are at Walmart, and I was the same girl. I had essential oils. I have a workout program. I sell insurance, and I work for a realtor. The difference was I didn't tell you any of it in the first example.
It was all about you the second time.
Exactly. So why don't you want the product I am selling?
You don't even know if I need it.
Nor do I care. That's the reality. As much as people like to convince themselves that they want to save the world with their nutrition or their travel or their opportunities and fitness, as much as they want to convince themselves that they truly care, you know based on what you're talking about. And if you truly care about the person, you first are not assuming that you know what they need. So the second example, you obviously don't trust me.
Right.
And why don't you trust me?
Don't trust you because you wouldn't stop talking.
Yes, and what else?
You had no interest in me.
Yep.
And it was all about you just trying to take from me.
Yep. Now, how many of you have ever used the approach I just showed? And that's how we make people feel. And then we blame the economy or we blame the business and we try to find another business or a different job that's going to change it. It's never going to change until you change your approach. So I could still be selling all those things in the first approach. He's gladly to give me his phone number. Why? Because I led with his interests and not my own. Okay? Third example. Ready?
Ready.
Hello.
I don't know. The line's pretty long. Yeah, 15 minutes or so. Okay. Cool. See you then. Time out. Ignoring people is dishonorable and disrespectful. This man knows 2,000 people I don't know. This man has strengths, needs, and goals that I clearly can refer him to other places to be able to get some of those filled, or perhaps to an opportunity that could better serve his life. But if I don't talk to him, not only do I dishonor him, but I dishonor my brand by not having any communication. And this isn't our general public, this is our community. And so not making connection inside of our community is also disrespectful for the community, because I could be matching people up, my contacts with his contacts, and helping their business or their TV station not go through what they went through, or helping to rebuild that station all over again and rebuild their influence. Does that make sense? But if I'm not talking to anybody, then no one is getting helped. I'm not getting helped. The person's not getting helped. The organizations that we are all connected to are not getting helped. People today have become just islands. They're isolated, all by themselves, facing their phones, no communication with each other, no relationship. And we can't figure out why people are so frustrated, people are hostile,
People are angry. Kids are angry. Increase of suicide amongst the youth. There's no reason for it. So the reality is that we have people running into our life every single week that could be great connections to help build your career or somebody that you can share your brand with. Whether you own the business or not, doesn't matter. As you focus in on helping them get what they want, they at some point want to know what they can do for you. At some point, they want to know, how can I help you? What is it that you do? Tell me more about what your goals are. Tell me more about, do you understand? And so just having that opportunity to be able to get into the ear of somebody else about what it is that you represent, like I said, whether you're the owner or not, doesn't matter. But what this does do is it helps to breed success that is mutually beneficial. It takes a team to succeed. It really does. It takes a team to succeed. And you have an entire community that you live in that is helping you build your brand or not at all. Not doing anything at all for you because you're not doing anything for them. So we have to first start with how can I serve and help them? And out of that, then you'll be served. Give this gentleman a hand. It's so good to meet you. You are so fun. Thank you. So what I just did on the first example was from a script inside of this script book on page 38. And this script should be memorized by all of you. Yep, page 38. It's called the face-to-face conversational approach. It's a small little paragraph that I used at the very end of our conversation when I said to Shane, you know, I couldn't help but notice that you were saying, and I repeated his strengths, interests, goals, and need. I got his phone number from giving him what he was interested in, okay? I didn't try to go after him. I said, you're probably loving your job and everything's great, but you might know somebody in this economy that needs an opportunity where they can. And again, I said what his strengths, interests, goals, and needs were, okay? What do you do after you collect that phone number? You turn the page. Page 40, 41, 42 and 43 has another script of what you say and what you do after you call, when you call him back. So you re-engage in that conversation. Now, if you have a business opportunity, you have a product or whatever, you use this script to lead that conversation into that direction. You don't have to think about what to say. How many of you already own the script books? Better question, who does not own the script books? Okay, well, like 20% of the room, okay? So what that basically means is that everybody that put their hand up first is ahead of you. That's all. They're ahead of you. They have a tool in their toolbox that makes life much easier, whether you don't have to think, you just have to read. How many of you know how to read? This is so good, okay? I have a 17-year-old young lady that's here in the room that was here 6 weeks ago, but it was in Ohio. We were in Ohio doing First Step Success 6 weeks ago. Where is she? Stand up, girl. Okay. She is 17 years old. Prior to First Step Success, she used her age as an excuse as to why people would not take her serious and how she wouldn't be able to become successful or build a business because she's 17 years old. With the script book and the training that she got for those 3 solid days in Ohio, she's made $5,000 between that event and this one at 17 years old. So there's no excuse. There's no excuse, okay? I have another colleague of mine that's here in the room that got a hold of these script books. He's a very, very, very successful businessman. And I mean very, very, very successful businessman. He had built an accounting firm, sold that firm for, not telling me, yes, you. Millions and millions of dollars. He's a multimillionaire. He's a business consultant. Came to First Step Success and he got his world rocked the entire weekend. He's like, oh my gosh, I'm getting my butt kicked. I'm getting my butt, this is good for me. This is good for me. Got a hold of the materials, used the script, and closed a deal that he had been working on for a long time pulled out the script, the closing script, and closed a $120,000 deal that was not closing. Now, the success that he had was he continued to follow up with this person, but he was missing the close. The closing script closed just this one $120,000 deal. So if you think you've got a better way of communicating than this, pull your head out. If you don't have those kinds of results, it can take a 17-year-old and make $5,000 in a month, or help a deal get closed that hasn't been closed to the tune of $120,000. I'm telling you, hundreds of millions of dollars in sales have been created from these scripts. Follow directions. Follow directions. It doesn't matter what these scripts were written for. You will be able to utilize it and customize it to what you do. I've had wives close their husbands on taking them on a dream vacation using these sales scripts. Okay? I've had husbands close their wives on going and learning how to get out of debt using these script books. I've had spouses come to agreements with using these script books instead of fighting and being contentious with each other and always in disagreement and far apart. They've been able to come together. Why? The scripts do the work. You just have to read. I don't care if you open it up and read it in front of somebody. Read in front of them. That's what I used to do. Was read it. So what is in these books? Every script I've ever used. They've been written by me, out of my mouth. Page 38 is just one I had used for years in my head. It's the same thing I said to thousands of people every time I went to Walmart, the grocery store, the kids' school, whatever function it was that was going out, at the park, wherever I was, at an airport, on an airplane, doesn't matter. The same script kept coming out of my mouth. I finally put it down on paper so that people could read it, study it, memorize that one little paragraph, and it will help you build your business and help you build your influence. We don't have enough here for all 20% of you that don't have it. So it's, you know, first come, first serve supply on that. Okay, so let's break it down further. The closing script, for example, is about asking questions. What I want to give you in this last 20 minutes that we have together, more like 15 minutes, is I want to give you a list of 10 reasons why these 7 steps get screwed up, okay? Number one is disconnects. The reason why exposure and the initial connection flops is simply because there's disconnects. People are talking about irrelevant material. And the example was perfect with Shane. When I was talking with Shane, that was a disconnect. Do you understand? I was not connecting with him because I'm selling what I want to sell and what I'm excited about. Therefore, I'm not connecting to him. The first example was a perfect connection. Okay. The second and third example was a disconnect. So why is there a disconnect? Generally, because the prospector is talking about what is irrelevant to the prospect. Do you get it? You got to talk about what's relevant to them, which is how. Don't do the talking, just do the asking. Stop talking, start asking. Okay? Do you understand? The second example, I was talking about my interests. The second example, I was talking about what I was excited about. Okay? If you do that, you're going to disconnect. Now, if the woman at the restaurant, this amazing food that was in this place, if she simply had smiled, had eye contact, asked us how our day was, okay, that in itself would have changed part of the experience, wouldn't you think? Okay, but if she took it a step further and did what my son and my daughter-in-law have done so very well, so much so that they have gotten rave reviews from this retirement home that they worked for a catering company, and that catering company had a client that was a retirement home, high end, a bunch of rich old people. Okay. And my son and my daughter-in-law have mastered this thing called form. They have mastered the skill of hospitality. These kids have helped that contract stay inside of that retirement home. And how? They learned every single person's name that they served every single day. They found out that Lois only likes 3 ice cubes and Stephanie likes 6. So they made sure and they customized every single drink to every single person they were serving. They found out that Bob loved potatoes with no pepper. So they made sure and brought Bob a separate thing of potatoes that had no pepper. Do you understand? These are 20-year-old kids that had... That Cabe has grown up here. Lauren had not grown up here, but came here and learned and understood the skill sets. They came to the understanding that if we can help these elderly people feel important, then we're making a difference in their life today for however many more days they have on this earth. Big smiles, customizing things. They found out who the squeaky ones were, meaning the complainers, the ones that are crotchety, the ones that are mean. Do you understand? And they turned those people into their friends. Yeah. That when my son and my daughter-in-law moved back to Texas, which was a few months back, the retirement home begged these kids to stay. Threw them a big party, put $700 in cash in their hands, sat them around and told them how awesome were and how much of a difference that they made in their lives. The boss did everything he could to try to keep these kids. But you can't keep them from home. They're coming home, baby. Why? Because I pray like a crazy woman. I do. I pray like a... Bring my son home! Seriously, I had a picture on my nightstand with him. Lord, bring them home. Bring them home. Bring them home. They is home. They are home. They've been home since June. So exciting. Anyway... These kind of skill sets change the environment and change your value in the marketplace. So if that woman, if not only that woman, but also the owner of the place that they're working at right now, if he went out into the community and he just formed people, he's representing his brand. He can't figure out in his complaint, always he can't get enough people to come in the door. Well, there's other restaurants that are packed solid. And why? That restaurant has good service. It's not only good service with the food. Don't just sell the food. Create an environment. This is why I want to start a restaurant so bad, okay? I really, really, really want to do this. I want a pizza place in my town because the pizza is... sucks. Now, I've had some amazing pizza in my life, and I want people to have the pizza, but the main reason for the restaurant idea that I have is that we want to open our home to people and make them feel like our restaurant, is their home. Remembering people's birthdays, sending out thank you cards, finding out what every single customer does for a living. Could you imagine coming into a restaurant, sitting down and having the waitress or the owner or whoever it is that is working there, imagine this experience, that you walk into there and you think you're just coming in to buy pizza or a Coke or a burger or whatever, but instead someone forms you. Someone forms you, and they find out what business you have or where it is that you work and where your kids go to school. They find out everything that there is to know in a few minutes about you. And could you imagine that before you leave, they say to you, you know what, do you have a business card? Because you know what, we have a lot of people who come here that could use your contracting services. And I would love to tell people about you. Could you imagine? Now, tell me. Give me your contact information. I'm going to actually call a few people I know to see if anyone needs contracting services right now. How do you feel about my restaurant if my food sucks? If my food is the same as everybody else's in town, how do you feel about your experience that you came to a place of business that cared about your business, that cared about your well-being, that cared about putting food on the table for your children? How many of you come back? No, how many of you would talk about it? Do you understand? So if you were a restaurant, you were a business that gave referrals to other businesses in your local area and abroad, then if you found out that there is a family, that there is a mom, she's going crazy. She's in there, her kids are going nuts, and she just sits there and goes, gosh, I think I'm going to kill myself or them, one or the other. Right? Women say that. She's going nuts. And you simply say, you know what? You're a good mom, and you care about your kids. And I think you're awesome. And I think it's pretty amazing that you would even bring them in public because some moms don't even do that. But you know what? I've heard about a system called Grooming the Next Generation for Success where there was all kinds of families that I heard about that were struggling, people that weren't even leaving their houses anymore because their kids were so crazy. In fact, there's this one guy. His kids were the kids, when he walked into a restaurant with his kids, the people would go, oh, God. They knew that their dinner was going to be ruined because of the kids. After he got a hold of this tool called Grooming the Next Generation for Success, which you can find at Walmart, you can find it at Barnes & Noble, Amazon, or you can go to DannyJohnson.com. I'm sure you've heard of her. She's been on Oprah. She's been on whatever's. Okay? Get a hold of this book, because this guy, Jeff, his kids are so honorable and respectful. Not only have they surpassed everybody else in school, but these kids are now the models of the classroom, the models in the restaurant. He now gets stopped where people say, man, when you walked in, I was totally expecting for my dinner to be ruined, but man, your kids are impressive. How do you do what you do? And he just says, you got to get this book. You got to read this book. You got to read this book. So I know that you're a mom that wants solutions and you don't want to pull out your hair anymore. So if you have a pen and paper, in fact, I'm going to go write it down. I'll go ahead and give it to you. Get a hold of it. Let me know how it goes. How do you feel? If you have a problem that needs to be solved and you come to a restaurant and the restaurant is helping to refer you to solutions and resources and tools and or giving you referrals for your business or referring you as for work, job-related stuff, is this still a restaurant to you? Nope. It's a resource center. It's a place you want to spend money at. It's a place that you'll continue to come to. It's something you want to be a part of. Does that make sense? You see, most restaurants are not connected to their community. They think they are, but they're not connected to the people. So the same with engineering firms, the same with churches. I don't want to scream, but I'm not gonna. I'm going to contain myself. I was in India, did a pastor's conference for 2,000, 3,000 pastors. In a very poor part of the country. And I said to them, do you have any idea what the needs are of your people? They need more of the Spirit of God. No, they need food. They need a job. They need more of the word. No, they need skills. Do you even know what the businesses that they have that are failing? Do you even know what they are? No. A business owner in your congregation, do you know what he needs to provide for his family? Another Bible study? Another mission trip? Is that what he needs? He needs another sermon to hype him up and feel good for a minute? Or does he need referrals? And you're the head of the organization. How many referrals are you giving your people in your congregation? Do you even know what businesses they have? Do you even know what jobs they're in? Do you even know? That's a blind shepherd if you don't know. It's a blind shepherd. Here's the facts. If we can help other people get what they want, then we will get what we want. It cracks me up when I see churches that preach against success and against money, even though the Bible talks about it 2,500 times. It talks more about that than it does anything else. More than anything else. But it's bad. You need to be poor. And you somehow are going to pass the plate and collect 10% of Poe. You're going to collect 10% of nothing. 10% of nothing is nothing. But if your people are leading in the marketplace and you've got businesses that are thriving in your congregation, they're making more money. They're living more comfortably. And they'll be glad to give to whatever purpose it is that you're trying to lead them to. Does that make sense? Could you imagine how many of you go to a church, they have no idea what you do? How many of you do not get referrals from people in your church? Could you imagine if there was a church that referred each other? Wow, what a concept. I don't know, it might change our economy. It might change the success of businesses. Could you imagine if your kids went to a school where the parents actually liked each other? Where the parents weren't in competition with each other, but instead resourced with each other. Resourced with each other. Could you imagine if everyone in the school that your kids go to school with learned only today? Just today. They got confronted with ego, forgiveness, their own pride of their own ways. learn what was stopping them, and learn some new communication skills. Learn the process about how to help a business succeed. Could you imagine the power of what would happen just with the school? I don't care what the president, the last president, the one before him, or the one that will be after him does. It couldn't stop us from success if we put this into practice. There's nothing anybody could do that would stop success from happening if what we talked about today alone was put into practice. So the question is, will you? Will you put that into practice? How many of you can ask simple questions as I asked on the stage here? How many of you can shut up and listen? How many of you could read a script? How many of you could refer other people? How many of you could focus on helping other people get what they want instead of leading with what you want? We can all do that. That's about shut up and follow directions. Now imagine if you had everyone you're engaged with learning those same exact things. Everything would change. So imagine the restaurants we would all be eating at. Imagine the businesses that we'd be doing business with, the kind of service that we would be receiving, and the kind of referrals that we would be giving. There is a momentum that is created when you become a giver versus a taker. There's a crazy amount of momentum that you can't possibly stop when you become a giver instead of a taker. Number two, the second thing that causes these seven very simple steps to be halted is fear. You're selling something all the time. Whatever it is that you're talking about is what you're selling. This is why it's very important not to sell seeds of destruction, not to sell negativity, not to sell condemnation and criticism, even of your spouse, of your children. You're selling something. Whatever your mouth is talking about is what you're selling. So make sure and use your mouth to what is productive. Make sure and use your mouth to what you want to see happen versus what you don't want to see happen. Selling fear is what the media does. And they use fear to manipulate us. Don't sell fear. Sell faith. Sell hope. Sell inspiration. Why? So few people are selling it and everyone wants it. Everyone wants it. So few are selling it. Number three, not enough activity. So the reason why, for example, the initial contact situation and a presentation, if you are not having the success that you want, it could be simply because you're not putting enough numbers through. So when I first started, I wanted to make sure and make 10 new contacts each and every day. 10 new contacts. My button helped me make those contacts. So when somebody asked me, hey, what's that button about? I put out my hand to shake their hand and say, what's your name? So that I got back in control of the conversation versus them in control of the conversation. Remember, whoever's asking questions is in control of the conversation. So if somebody asks you about your shirt, the decal on your car, somebody calls in an ad off of an advertisement that you have, you don't answer their question. You answer their question with a question. And why? So that you get back in control of the conversation and you lead that conversation away where you can get to know them by honoring them. You're getting them to talk, right? Versus just being a robot and giving them information. They can go to Google for information. They don't need to talk to you. So you need to create the experience with them as I created the experience with Shane here on the stage. Create an experience where there was trust involved, and because of that trust, easily gave me his phone number. The second, third example, no go, all right? So the third, sorry, not enough numbers. So when somebody asks you a question, you put out your hand, hi, what's your name? And you say, where are you from? What do you do? What do you like to do for fun? Do you understand? You instantly go into form and then you circle back. Your message will be the button and still don't give any information. You want to set up the presentation to where now you invite him, I invite Shane through the script on page 40, 41 to 43, is to now have him look at a website that maybe has a 20-minute presentation, a 4-minute presentation. Do you understand? I'm going to send him to the information so that he can view it in the right setting versus him drilling me with questions and sending me all over the place and an incomplete picture is being presented. The right presentation has to be done with the right setup, the right positioning. Okay, number four is poor communication skills. I demonstrated the poor communication skills, right? I told you about the examples of all different types of businesses with poor communication skills. Where else are we? By the way, help desks should be set up simply just to build relationship. And if you're in a business where people come to you to order something, meaning that's all that you have, they're coming to you asking you questions, you need to use that opportunity to switch it around and get to know the person that's calling and asking the questions. Do you hear me? Right? Point of advertisement or point of certain types of business models where you have a help desk or a place where people are ordering something, a place where someone is calling to place an order for something. You want to make sure and not just be the robot giving the answer. That's not what people really want. What people want is engagement. They want experience. So change the quality of the experience by controlling the conversation and getting to know who they are first. Okay, so poor communication skills. We tick people off. We frustrate them. And if you frustrate people, it's game over. It's game over. Okay, right now, Amazon.com is training our market for very high quality service. And whoever doesn't get on the bandwagon with high quality service is going to be out of business. What do I mean by that? Amazon never gives you any trouble. If you call and you need a refund on something or something wrong with shit, they say, keep it. We're going to send you another one. They incur the costs of something. Even if somebody else made the mistake, they never give any excuses and they don't frustrate you. They remove all the frustration. They keep you wanting to come back because of their simple systems that are in place that get you what you want fast. Okay. Now, Walmart has missed it completely on that. They missed it. And it is predicted that Walmart will not be Walmart anymore. Inside of the next decade, that Walmarts will be a thing of the past. Can you imagine? They'll be a thing of the past. When they were the big hot dog bully on the street, now they're about to be a nobody. And why? Amazon.com. It isn't because of what Amazon.com offers. It's the way they offer it. There are thousands of websites. Listen to me. There are thousands of websites that offer what Amazon offers. What's the difference? It's how they offer it. It's why they bring it the way they do that is different than the thousands, if not hundreds of thousands, could be even millions of websites that sell junk all day long. Okay? Sells junk all day long. So it's not about the website. It is about the how it's done, the experience that Amazon is creating for the buyer. The buying experience is what's important. Okay. Number five, when you focus on yourself instead of the prospect, if you focus on yourself through any one of those seven steps, okay, if yourself, meaning if you set up systems that serve you instead of the user, you don't have a duplicatable system. Do you hear me? We found this out recently even in our thing. Many companies set up systems that serve themselves but frustrate the customer. Did you hear me? So you got to go back and look at, why do I have the systems in place that I have in place? Is this to serve me? Or is this what's best for the customer? Because if what serves you frustrates the customer, it's not a good system. Okay? So whenever it is that you have the focus on yourself, right? There are even some people in business that they have things set up to protect themselves. Everything is about protecting themselves from getting screwed. But all that does is create problems for the customer. Some of those types of systems, some of those, what do you call the procedures that you have in place? Gosh, man, we all encounter procedures in place that frustrate us. All kinds of stupid procedures that are put in place. If you look to make those things more efficient, you're going to be more valuable to the client. Okay, number six, guessing or thinking you know what the prospect or the market wants instead of asking. Guessing instead of asking. So feedback is something that is really valuable to get from your customers, from your staff. Really important to get feedback from your staff and from your customers. Now, if you get your feelings hurt and you end up defending your position and defending everybody else's position, put your big girl and your big boy chonies on. It's time to grow up. This is not seventh grade. Do you hear me? This is not seventh grade. It's time to grow the heck up. You got to stop that nonsense. It's a waste of time. But you need the feedback from your staff. You need the feedback from your customers. You need them to be honest with you as to how they are feeling, what is working, what isn't, what's driving them crazy, what bothers them, what they would like to see better, what they'd like to see different. Take that feedback. Don't get offended. That's stupid. Being offended costs you money. It doesn't make you money. But the feedback helps you to elevate who you are, your brand, and bring better value out there into the marketplace. Number seven. Number seven is what are you doing that is causing people to talk about you and to send out referrals? I already talked about that a lot today. Okay, so identify what that is. Do you know what it is? Have you identified what it is? Do you have a solid plan? Hope is a joke when it comes to business. Okay, hope is a joke when it comes to business. Hope will not turn into profits. But what will turn into profits is that you've got some kind of a plan, something that sets you apart, something that's different. Knowing who your real customer is, how you're targeting that customer, and how are you serving that customer. Number eight, the eighth reason why this will fail is you're impatient. Impatience. You want it to grow faster. You want your skill set to be faster. You want referrals faster, and you're not willing to do what it takes to make it grow faster. So impatience. In the beginning, man, guys, my first 6 months, I failed miserably. I failed miserably. Thank God I didn't quit. And that next 6 months, I had great success, and then I failed again. And then I had great success, and then I failed again. Failure is part of the process, and you have to force failure to be your teacher. Force failure to be your teacher. Failure is a great teacher. How do you make sure you learn from it? You make sure you make all the money you lost back and then some. You make sure you get all the time you lost back and then some. Do you understand? And you make sure you don't ever make that same mistake in the same way again. Okay? So impatience, I tell you, the very first person I had the chance to learn from used to just look at me and say, Danny, Rome wasn't built in a day. I don't know why I had this crazy urgency at 19 that I had to make $1 million tomorrow. It's crazy. Why I had this deep urgency that somehow I had to make everything happen right now. Rome wasn't built in a day. It takes time to build a legacy. It takes time to build a legacy. It takes time to build a legacy. It takes time to reach your destiny. It is not going to happen overnight. So if you're impatient, you will abandon those seven steps. If you're impatient, you will put your focus just on one and not do the rest. If you're impatient, you'll try to change, add more to the steps. This is pretty much how it goes. This is pretty much every business falls into this, into these categories. And I didn't even talk about leadership development, but that's great. That's recruiting talent that's better than you and developing high leadership out of those people. Number nine is bad posture and bad positioning. You need to have good posture and good positioning. I'm not talking about how you stand. I'm talking about how you carry yourself. I'm talking about how you communicate, especially in the close. This is why, man, if anything, if you don't have faith in your ability to close, then have faith in the scripts that have closed hundreds of millions of dollars. Do you know how to read? Who reads? So you're pretty confident in your reading? How many of you can read without even thinking about it? How many of you don't have to think anymore about reading? You can just read, right? I put something in your hand, you know how to read. How many of you are pretty confident at that? Awesome. So you don't need to build your confidence or feel more confident with reading, right? Okay, so if you don't have confidence in closing, read the scripts of a multimillionaire. That the scripts have generated hundreds of millions of dollars. Have faith in that. That this works regardless of who you are and how old you are and where you are in the country. Whether you're super successful already or you have none at all. Those are the scripts that helped me make millions and millions of dollars. So posture is what brings the close. Positioning, yourself in the right place with the right motives, having the right words, which are already scripted out for you. Number 10 is no internal personal development and no leadership development. That's another reason why people fail. In business or in the family business, whatever that family business is, people fail in that simply because they have no personal development. They have no leadership development. And without personal development, I would be dead. I would be dead. I would be dead. I would be dead. What is personal development? That is developing you, who you are, your character. And guess what? You're not going to do that by yourself. You're not. Trust me, I've tried. You're not going to do that by yourself. What I find with leaders, man, I see this everywhere I go, all over the world, and it's such a sad thing, that the failure with leadership development is simply this. Leaders get too busy. They get too busy. They're spending too much time solving problems, too much time building their dream. They're constantly giving out and now are giving from something that's empty, giving from something that's tired, giving something that is stale, giving something that is old, giving something that is rusted. If you don't stay on path of personal development continuously, daily, weekly, monthly, pouring something into you, purposely pressing play on specific skill development, leadership, character development, emotional development, strengthening yourself from the inside out, because business and success is an inside game first. And it's the inside game that translates to the outside game. So when you do that, there's nothing that can stop you. No matter what wave comes to knock you on your butt, no matter what earthquake splits the earth in half right in between your 2 feet, no matter what typhoon comes and hits your house, that if you stay engaged continuously in personal development, you will withstand the earthquakes, the tsunamis, you will withstand and prevail. And those will be learning experiences that help to strengthen who you are from your very core. And you will be the one leading the rescue team of those who are suffering. You'll be the one that has the business that is standing, that is a hope and a beacon for the rest that are failing, that will help those to continue keeping on when they want to quit. You'll be the one, and your marriage will be the one, that causes people to say, if they can make it, so can we. That's what you're called to be. You're called to freedom. You're called to success. Not at a mediocre level, but at a level that causes those around you to stop and say, please show me how. You've learned just in today alone enough that'll put you far ahead of everybody else that you're in the game with by simply implementing. Even this afternoon, we got 2 more days to go, and we also have tonight. Tonight is our spiritual equipping session. It is an optional session. However, you really should be here. If you're not here, you won't hurt my feelings. However, my heart will hurt for you that you miss what we're going to talk about tonight. Tonight is going to be a message that is going to equip you for the new thing that is sprouting in your life right now. Now, I don't know if you've noticed, but how many of you have something new that is rising up in your life right now? Tonight's message is to help you succeed in that new thing. Because there's 2 things that happen when a new thing springs up. Some people resist and fight against it, and other people miss it. They miss it completely. We're going to talk about how not to miss it, how not to fight against it, but how to embrace the new thing that is springing up around you. Now, some of you didn't raise your hand. You don't realize that a new thing has already sprung up. And you're already in it right now. You're in the new thing in the seat you're sitting in. with the information that's going in your ears that is preparing you for what is to come. So tonight I'm going to actually reveal the book in which I've been teaching from all day long. And that book is the best success book that has ever been written. Every success book that's been written since that book has just copied things out of that book, has quoted that book. Sometimes they tell people what the book is. Sometimes they don't. Every communication book, finance book, wealth book, every marriage book, parenting book, anything that has done any good in the world, I believe personally has all come from this book. My books have come from these books. And that book that I'll be teaching from, actually opening in front of you, is the Bible. That's the best success book ever written. Now, please don't go get religious on me, because that ain't going to work around me. In case you haven't figured that out already, I'd be kicked out of 99% of the churches in the world. And good. Jesus got kicked out too. Good. Don't get religious. Let's just remain the people of honor and respect that we have become in this one day that we've been together. Tonight is going to be very, very different than the rest of the entire weekend. There also will be guests coming from out of the area who will be attending tonight only. In fact, there's a guy that's driving 4 hours to come just to receive tonight's message. So you can be a little bit more casually dressed or keep wearing whatever it is that you want. I'm going to be a little bit more casually dressed. I will wear shoes, though, I promise, instead of flip-flops. If you have that book, bring it with you. I encourage you, bring it with you. If you don't, Gideon left one for you in your room. It's in your nightstand. So it's free. You can have it. But come enjoy tonight. We're going to be meeting here at 7:15. We'll be meeting at 7:15. That gives you an hour and a half break for dinner. Enjoy your hour and a half. Have some time to relax. Make some good choices with food. I'll see you back here at 7:15. Thanks so much for your time today. Good night.